Some of what you are about to hear might be deemed offensive by some people. If you are insulted by people arguing about the New England Patriots and pretty much anything else, or by subjects like soap with a slot, gutter cleaners, people with big heads, Bill Polian, Egypt, wedge salads, and drilling for oil, you probably shouldn't listen to PFW in Progress. But if you do listen and hear something questionable, please do not be offended. We're just trying to entertain. In other words, some of the content of PFW in Progress may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
Gentlemen, you are the top 1%.
The elite. Best of the best. We'll make it better.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
I'd like to take this opportunity to introduce you to our commanding officer at Top Gun. The very first man to win the Top Gun trophy. You will not find a finer fighter pilot anywhere in the world.
Paul Perillo.
I will fire when I am good and ready. You got that?
And Andy. And Andy?
Son, your ego is writing checks your body can't cash.
Andy Hart.
You're everyone's problem. That's because every time you go up in the air, you're unsafe. I don't like you because you're dangerous.
That's right. I am dangerous.
Eric Scalavino.
I want somebody's butt. I want it now.
For now, anyway.
That's twice. I want some butt.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Gentlemen, this is the real thing. This is what you've been trained for. You are America's best. Make us proud.
All right. Welcome to PFW in Progress. I forgot to turn my mic on. Hey, already in progress is Bill Belichick at the podium. Let's go right there.
For us, this is a draft where I don't think I've ever been in a draft where we've had the kind of potential flexibility that we had this year. You know, last year we went in with the number 7 pick and the number 62 pick. And I felt at that time it would be very hard to move very far from those two spots. And in fact, you know, we didn't. This year, I think if you just go by the generic trade charts, the charts that pretty much everybody uses or has access to, if you just do the numbers, we could probably trade a combination of our picks in the first round and get up maybe as high as 10. We already have 3 picks in the second round, so we could pick anywhere from the beginning of the round to the end of the round, and then a couple more picks in the third. So I think it's really important for us to know the value of the board, you know, all the way through those first 100 players, and be able to know where the opportunities are or aren't, and where how we can make the most of them. And again, we don't always have flexibility to trade because you need a partner on that, but I'm sure there'll certainly be some discussions there, and there already have been with teams that see our multiple picks and have interest in acquiring 2-for-1 and that type of thing. So we just have to see how all that plays out, but I think it does give us a lot of flexibility, and it certainly changes the overall, you know, our entry into the draft. It's a lot different from what it was last year, as I said, talking about the number 7 and number 62 pick. You know, the process started really a few days after the draft last year, and I think it's always interesting how it goes from players who have never played football, like the Steve Neals of the world, to college players who didn't have too much production, like the Matt Castles of the world, to players who were, you know, 3-4-year starters at major programs, and all the ones in between, small schools, big schools, guys that played, guys that didn't play, guys that switched positions, offense, defense, got hurt, had different curves in their career and so forth. So it's just one, you know, one big evaluation process. I don't think you can neglect any aspect of it. At the same time, you know, you have to take everything into consideration and try to do the best you can with the information that you have and make the best decisions for your team. So all that process has, you know, pretty much occurred. And now, again, it's just a question of trying to finalize, you know, how we value the players, which, again, is what's really important, is how we value the player, not how somebody else values them or what some other grade is on them or what round somebody else thinks he can go in. It's what's more important to us is what we think he'll do for our football team if he's here. So that's really where the emphasis is. So as we kind of wind down that evaluation process and kind of get into you know, draft strategy and you know, potential movement and actual comparison of player A and player B and player B and player C and at different points in the draft, that type of thing, then that's sort of the last step now of the process. So it's always an exciting time when you build your team, and this weekend will be a you know an important team building time for all of us in the National Football League.
Bill, do you sense any reluctance these days on the part of teams to use the picks higher in the first round? Or, it seems that sometimes it's more cost effective to use the lower picks. I mean, you have a lot of picks in the second round, and you could use just about all of them and not spend what you would have to spend if you had a top five pick on one player.
Yeah, that's certainly true. I think if you go and look at the Hall of Fame players, you'll find a lot more in the first round than in the second round, and you'll find, you know, generally speaking, the higher the pick, the better the player. I mean, that's, you know, generally speaking, the way it is. So, you know, you're right. You can get more players for less money, then it's a question of quality. And, you know, when teams trade up in the draft, they trade up not for a spot, but they trade up for a specific player. And that's, you know, that's their judgment on what they think that player will bring to their team. So each case is different. I know that there's a general value for trades, and we studied that, and we feel like we know what that market is. But again, it varies in the first round or two because of, especially the first round, because you're trading for a specific player. Now, when you trade a sixth and a seventh to move up in the sixth round, you know, I don't know if anybody knows who you're going to take, and if you want them that bad, you know, you could have had them 200 players ago. So, you know, that's not so much of a player pick as it is a value pick. But, you know, you trade up for somebody in the first round in the, you know, top 10 or so, you're going for a specific guy. How much is that guy worth to you? Then, you know, that's what you're willing to give up. Might be high, what other people think, but if that's what you think the player brings to your team, then it's worth giving it up. So each one of those trades is different. I think you just, you know, when you're involved in those, I think you just have to get a feel for how much, if you're trading up, how much you want the player, and if you're trading down, how much you want to draft there versus how much, you know, you don't really care, how motivated the buyer is and how motivated the seller is. And each one of those is unique. I don't think there's any set formula for that. You just have to, you know, they're all different.
How much is the draft value chart that Jimmy Johnson put together with the Cowboys back in the early 90s, late 80s, how much of that is just not even applicable now because of the finances at the top of the draft?
You know, we've looked at that, and I really think when you look at a value chart or when you look at the historical trades, what was given up to move up so many places, you know, in certain rounds, in the end, it all comes out over historical evaluation, you know, over a three-year period, a five-year period, a 10-year period. It all comes out pretty – it's all about the same. If you use points, if you use – you know, history, if you use a different point chart, because in the end, the point charts all, you know, there's some kind of a quality there. It might be a little bit different, but in the end, I'd say that from our evaluation of it's all about the same over the long term. You know, and if you just look at 1 year, you know, one or two trades could really skew those averages. But if you look at it over a multi-year period where you have enough examples to really evaluate it, I think it's pretty consistent.
So what were your impressions of Andre Smith when you had him
in for a Andre is a very talented player. Very talented player. And has had a great career down there at Alabama. I think he's got a lot of attributes he look for on offensive lineman, left tackle. But you know, again, I mean there's a lot of players out there that, you know, have a lot of things going for them, and certainly anybody that gets talked about in that area of the draft is, you know, there's a lot of reasons for it. Athletic ability, performance, consistency, you know, so forth and so on. So,
speaking with someone, they mentioned the murkiness of the first round in that there's not a clear-cut best tackle. It's not a clear-cut best wide receiver with Crabtree, you know, balance and injuries not working out. It's not a clear-cut number of different positions. Does that make this a harder first round to handicap in terms of who might be on the board at the position you could jump to if you feel like?
Yeah, I think that's really an interesting point, and I agree with you about this draft, that in previous years For the most part, I think if you saw a team coming up and you thought, well, they were going up for a certain position, you would be able to identify the player that they were going up for. Now, as you put it, who's the top running back, who's the top receiver, who's the top quarterback, who's the top tackle, who's the top corner. If you, you know, survey different teams and you know what's on their boards, I think that there's quite a bit of variability and fluctuation in from team to team as to who the top guys are. Well, it goes without saying that as we drop into the lower part of it, there's even more fluctuation. I mean, it spreads even wider. So, yeah, from that standpoint, if somebody was moving up and you knew they were coming up for a particular position, I'm not sure that you could identify which player it was that they wanted at that position and in a number of positions this year. I think that makes it a little bit unusual. But once you get past a certain point in the draft anyway, certainly by the end of the first round, I don't think there's too many guys that, you know, it just thins out considerably after that. Then I think it's really hard to predict, well, who wants who. You know, it's hard enough to do in a first round, but after that it's you know, you're really, you talk about value, it's hard to be as specific as you would be in the first round.
Bill, citing the flexibility that you just talked about and knowing your organization, what you want to do, going into the draft as you're formulating it, What would your thoughts be when you're talking to your coaches and saying this will be a successful draft if we
improve our team? That's what we're trying to do, improve our team. So I don't know what the opportunities are going to be. We'll have to wait till see this weekend what they are. But I hope we can take advantage of our opportunities and improve our team. We'll know that this fall. We'll know it next fall. You know, we'll know it the fall after that.
Do you go into every draft the same way in terms of the general thought of that process on that, or specifically you want to grab a player here, a position here?
Well, we haven't been picking in the top 10 very often. And, you know, when you're picking 23 or down in the 20s, the late teens, the 20s, the 30s, there's so many things that can happen in front of you. It's just very hard to predict, well, we're going to do this and we're going to do that. You're waiting to see what 20-some other teams are going to do. So I think, again, the best thing we can do is be prepared. This is a little bit unusual because we have a little more flexibility with the 3 second-round picks that we could move up in the first round. But, you know, maybe once a player starts dropping into a certain range, if you really like that player, maybe you could consider moving up for him if somebody's willing to trade out, you know, that type of thing. And those are the kind of things that we need to be prepared for and decide whether or not it's worth it to give up, you know, 1, 2, 3 picks to move up to take a particular player and, you know, give up the opportunity to draft other players in the, you know, 40s and 50s. So, again, the best example I could say, it's kind of like studying for a final exam. You know, you got a whole semester's worth of information and material. Like, what questions is the professor going to ask on the final exam? You know, which 5 questions are they going to be? You know, I don't know. You got to study all the material. You hope that you're on the target, the ones he asks. When it's over, you probably wish you would have studied a little more on something else and maybe spent a little less time on another area. But that's kind of the way it is on the draft every year. You have to be prepared for everything. In the end, you never know exactly what it's going to be. If you're picking 3, well, you know, it's a lot easier to evaluate the first 5 players than when you're picking 23 and you're trying to evaluate the first, you know, 30-some for that one pick.
Bill, there's been a lot of talk about the combine drug testing and a lot of players and speculation. Can you just explain to us how that works when you guys as a team are informed, how it might play into your assessment of prospects?
Yeah, I don't want to be evasive about it, but that whole area is not an area really that that we can talk about or we do talk about. I'm sure the league could, whatever the league would tell you about that, the process, the information, whatever it is, I'd say let's let them distribute it because it's a very confidential area and you know, not one that I really could get into, even on a general level. I think the league would be better off handling that.
Bill, how has your involvement in the process changed at all without Scott Pioli here for the first time?
You know, just on a personal level, it's gone from, spending a lot of time, a lot of days, a lot of hours, a lot of meetings with Scott to, you know, none. You know, he's in Kansas City, I'm here, so... You know, there's a lot, obviously, almost the contact's gone from 100 to 0 or close to it. But as far as the process goes, it really hasn't changed much. You know, we have one really new person in the process, and that's Floyd. And, you know, Floyd's got a ton of experience, and you know, he's been through this many times as a general manager at Tennessee and you know, even as assistant general manager and all that before when he's at Houston and so forth. So, but the rest of the people, you know, Nick is on top of it. I mean, he saw, you know, all the guys in the falls and a lot of work in the spring. I've worked closely with Nick in the past, John Robinson. You know, Jason Light's back, and, you know, he's certainly had some input into the college, but, you know, his area is primarily pro personnel. But, you know, it's a lot of the, you know, the same scouts, the same people, and the same process. So, you know, Nick's done a great job, and I think he's very on top of the entire draft and the people under him, and they've been very very good at acquiring and providing the information that I think we need.
So do you believe in the concept of drafting for need, or is there
anything? Well, as I said, I think you draft to improve your team. You sign players to improve your team, and that encompasses a lot of things. So what you draft is kind of what you see helping your team, both short-term and long-term, because you expect those players to be here for more than one year. So whether it's 4 or 5 years, whatever your commitment is to those players, you know, that's really what you're drafting for. So, in the end, you need everybody. So whether you draft your number one need or your number five need, or, you know, in a year or two, that those needs may change. Sometimes you take the player that's best suited for you at the time. Sometimes that player happens to be one you also need. So you do what you think's best for your team, let's put it that way.
At this stage, you're talking about this stage of players' development, you know, really when it comes to kids' development. Is there anything that makes the evaluation process particularly tricky? You know, whether it's being careful not to discount the competition they're playing against, or whether they translate to your system.
Well, yeah, I think the whole process is a lot harder than evaluating pro personnel. You know, pro players, you can see and play against the teams that we have to play against, the same players, the same schemes, and you can see it over, you know, pretty decent period of time. Again, because most free agents are, you know, they're not one-year players. Those players typically stay with their teams for a while unless they, you know, get released in training camp, but then you're kind of relying on your draft evaluation. So pro players you can usually see for 3, 4, 5 years in the National Football League and evaluate what they're doing and see how they fit into your system. College players, you know, you got a lot of variables. So competition, scheme, you know, the player's workload, his physical development. I mean, there's so many players that come into college at, you know, they come in at 240 and they leave at 300, or they come in at 175 and they leave at 210, or, you know, they're growing into their bodies and they're, you know, they're gaining maturity, both physically and mentally and from an experience standpoint. Not that doesn't continue when we get them, but I think, you know, it starts to slow down a little bit. So, you know, all those things lead to, you know, a lot of guesstimates. And then you put them into a professional program, which is a lot different than a college program. You know, when you start talking about a lot more time, a lot more money, you know, different schedule, different demands, some kids respond differently to that. How they actually do when they get in there, you don't know until they're actually in there. You know, you can guess at it, but you don't have the evidence like you would have if you took a team from another player from another NFL team. You know, you think you'd have a lot better evaluation on that. So it's a very inexact science, but we do the best we can.
Bill, you mentioned potentially talking trade with some teams. Have there been any discussions thus far?
Well, again, I think that at this point in time, it's a lot of preliminary conversations. You know, you talk to a team, you see whether, or they talk to you, whichever way it goes, you know, are they interested in moving a certain pick? Are you interested in moving a certain pick? And you just kind of get some parameters. Some teams are at a certain point in the draft where they kind of say, no, I don't think we're going to want to move. Okay, great. Well, you know on draft day that if you were interested in moving to that spot, that's probably not a real good option. There's other teams that will tell you, boy, we would absolutely love to, you know, consider something if maybe one or two guys that we're looking for aren't there. Okay, great. Then it comes to that point and you're interested in moving to that position, then that will be a team you'd contact. So it's more along those lines. It's not, if you look at the number of, you know, pre-draft, draft choice trades, not player for draft choice, but just straight draft choice trades, you won't find very many of them. Probably the last one was when Jimmy Johnson and I made one in 92 or 93, whatever it was, a couple days before the draft. Just teams don't like to do it. I personally am comfortable doing it, but most teams just don't like to do it.
You mean just flipping before the draft even begins?
Yeah, before the draft, you know, you move up in this round and give me this, and I move back and I give you that, and that's the deal. So then we go into the draft saying, okay, you know what you got, I know what I got, here we go. But so much more of, you know, let's wait till we're on the clock. You know, let me wait and see what's there on the board, and then we'll decide whether we want to move or not. So, you know, that's the way 90%, probably more than that, I'd say 99% take place. I mean, I can't think of too many draft choice trades made pre-draft.
Bill, to that end, last year was the first year they went down to 10 minutes in the first round and 7 minutes in the second. How does that affect the process of being able to get something like that put together in the shorter amount of time? Was it a big impact or not?
You know, I think you feel a little bit of a time crunch there, but, you know, surprisingly, there were, what were the 30 trades last year? I think the most that we've had, if I'm not mistaken, or if it wasn't the most, it was one of the highest total number of trades in the draft year. So I'd say that didn't slow it down, you know. I mean, certainly in previous years when the rounds were 5 minutes from the third round on, you had to make the trade in 5 minutes. So if you could do it in 15 or 10, you know, you can certainly do it in five. It's just that first and second round cut in 5 minutes and whatever it is, 2.5 off the second round, just squeezes it a little bit, and there's, you know, a lot more at stake at those picks. But, you know, I don't think that, based on the 30 trades that were made in last year's draft, I don't think it's deterred too many people. So,
does it mean you just have to make a contact earlier, or?
Just got to make a quicker decision. I don't think it means you can't do it. It just means you got to make a quicker decision. And, you know, sometimes you know, in the past, with more time, you might be able to play two or three teams off against each other. You know, you're on the phone with this team, and you're on the phone with that team, and, you know, you're kind of, you know, might be a little bit of a bidding situation, or vice versa. You'd be on the other end of the phone and not get an answer back because, you know, they're shopping at other teams. It's probably just, you know, a little bit less of that because you don't have much time. And, you know, that may actually push some of the trades forward because if you get somebody on a line, you say, well, you know, I don't have time to fool around. Let me just take it, you know, if you're inclined to trade. So,
with the number of picks you have in the second round, are you fielding more calls right now than you're making?
We're not doing anything differently than we normally do.
Are you noticing more teams
falling
in to try and?
It's, again, it's all just preliminary, Tom. I mean, we're just trying to get a sense of, you know, what teams are interested in possibly talking. Nobody's committing to anything. And what teams are kind of like us last year. You know, we're sitting there at 7 and 62. You know, if we trade 62 to move up from 7, then our next pick is like 90 something. You know, and that probably wasn't a place we wanted to be in the draft. So it really wasn't, you know, probably realistic for us to move up from 7 or to trade 62. You know, that's just, you know, not saying it's impossible, but I'm just saying, you know, the chances of that happening, you know, didn't seem very good. And so whatever player was at 20, I don't know if it made any difference to us. You know, we probably weren't going to be at 20.
Bill, how much, if anything, has what you've been able to do in free agency impact your outlook in what you might want to do in the draft?
I don't think it's impacted it too much. I think the free agency is another window where you try to improve the team where you can and take advantage of those opportunities that you think can help your team. Again, you don't know what they're going to be, but you evaluate them on a case-by-case basis and try to improve your team. And now you move into the draft, and again, I don't know who's going to be there at 23. So I don't know who's going to be there at 34. So no decisions were made based on that. When we get to those points, we'll evaluate the players and the options that are there, or as we get close to there, whether, you know, to move or not to move, whatever it is, and do what we think is best for our team.
Is this
a good year to have 11 picks as far as the depth at certain positions? In other words, like there may be some drafts where there's not quite what you're looking for, so it might be better to have fewer picks in that kind of draft, whereas...
Yeah, well, you know, we hope we'll be able to use our picks productively in whatever way that is, and that's, you know, sometimes we've used our picks to take players at the end of the draft, like the Matt Castles and the Patrick Passes and the Tom Brady's and guys like that that have come in the sixth and seventh round. And sometimes we've taken those picks and used them to move up, like the fifth round pick to move up to take Ty Warren. Sometimes we've traded them into next year, like we did with our third last year with San Diego, like we did one year with Oakland, where we traded a sixth and a seventh into a fifth the following year. So, you know, I hope we'll be able to use them productively. What that is, I, you know, just be a guess at this point in time. It's, I think we just have to wait and see what the options are. You know, we won't lock into anything until we know what the options are. Once the options are declared, then we'll try to make the best decision we can.
Bill, in your mind, how is the talent in this draft overall compared to some of the other years?
Well, I think there's a lot of there'll be a lot of players in this draft that'll be good performers in the National Football League. As I said, I think one of the unusual things about this draft is the, I would say, the lack of overall consensus at the top of each position. That there seems to be some fluctuation as to who's the best center, who's the best back, who's the best quarterback, who's the best receiver, who's the best tackle, who's the best corner, who's, you know, I mean. You hear a lot of different names getting slung around, and I can see why. I can see that there's, you know, you could like one player for this, but maybe like the other player for that. You know, I mean, and we certainly have had those conversations on our board relative to a lot of those players. You know, after you get past that, you know, that first wave of, you know, 20, 25, however many players it is, then... You know, then it sort of starts to be, I would say, kind of a normal draft. You know, like some guys better than others. Some guys are a better fit. You know, a player might be lacking something that keeps him from being a, you know, a first-round pick or a top 20 pick or whatever. But, you know, he's got a lot of other things going for him that makes you want to have that player or consider having that player on your team. So just I would just say the top of the draft's a little bit less predictable than what it normally would be. You know, I think last year we, you know, had a pretty good sense of, you know, who a lot of those players would be. You know, Long was the top tackle, and Ryan was the top quarterback, and kid from LSU, Dorsey, was the top defensive tackle, and Long was the top defensive end. You know, I mean, that just seemed a lot more set last year than what it seems this year. Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I mean, really impressive. I think Randy Etzel's done a great job with that program. They've won a lot of games. They've got a lot of good players and kind of, you know, got them a little bit from all over, but they've got them on both sides of the ball. They've got them at skill positions. They have them at the big positions. So, you know, offensive lineman, running back, corner, pass rusher, you know, several other guys, you know, safety, quarterback, tight end, receiver. You know, they got a lot of other interesting guys too, though I'm not saying they're first round picks, but they're, you know, certainly considerations, and I'm sure several of them will get picked in the draft. So it's a real credit to what he's done with that program, and it was a, you know, exciting pro day at Connecticut. You know, what's the highest player they've ever had picked there in the third round? Fincher, I think, the linebacker. So let's say that one's going to probably get shattered here this weekend. So, yeah, you don't usually go to Connecticut, you know, in the past. You haven't gone to Connecticut looking for first-round, second-round type talent. And clearly there's a couple of guys that fall into that category there.
I just got a general one on the number one pick. When you look at the history of it, fortunately you haven't had to have that position too many times, but when you look at the history of it, with all the man hours, scouting, research, and effort that smart people put into it, why does it so frequently end up not hitting?
Well, as I said earlier, I think there's a lot of variables from college football to pro football. Doesn't matter where you pick them, there's still those same variables. So it's just a different game. and it's played by, you know, a different level of player. So same thing happens in high school and college. You see these high school guys that are, you know, parade All-Americans and Gatorade Player of the Year and all that, and some of them don't play in college. And other guys that barely get recruited, they're number one draft choices. So, you know, it's any time you jump a level like that and you, you know, put a couple years into the process, then there's some variables. They change.
Is there ever a player in the draft, like, I'm just saying, for instance, in a draft like this one, where you can say, that kid, I don't care what happens, is going to have an 8-year career in the NFL almost as close to you?
Yeah, I think there's plenty of players you can say that about. Yeah, that this guy is going to, you know, he's going to start. He's going to start and play in the league. I think there's other players that you can say, I think this guy is going to start and play in the league and be an impact player. But got to make sure this is right, or got a little bit of question about that, or got a little question about something else. But this guy would be a pretty good player. So that's why that's, you know, at the end of the day, 5 years from now, we'll look back and some of those players in the first round should have been taken ahead of some other ones. And maybe there's some that shouldn't even have gone in the first round, you know, when we look back on it. But that's, you know, I mean, those are things that are just try to take the information and digest it and figure it out the best you can. But there's a lot of variables. And that sometimes it's a system. You know, some, and we've seen that in the NFL. Guys go from one team to another and they perform differently. So
is there
a lot of variables.
Is there a guy that sticks out, not necessarily one of your draft picks, that you in your mind were saying he's a can't-miss prospect going back? You missed and you're still stunned.
Well, I mean, we draft the players here high that, you know, aren't with the team anymore. So, I mean, obviously we took them thinking that they would have better careers than what they had with us. So, I mean, you know the list as well as I do.
Bill, in general, what is the key variable that you look at that says that a player can make that jump from college to pro?
It's, you know, each guy's different, Alan. That's really, it's a tough question. Each guy's different, and you have so many different interactions with players. You know, you interact with them when the scout goes in on the school call. You know, you watch them at the school and practice, and what his coaches and people like that say about him who have been with him on a day-in, day-out basis for, you know, multiple years, multiple games, practices, you know, all that. You interact with them at the combine, the All-Star game, Senior Bowl, East-West game, stuff like that. You have your spring workouts. I mean, it's such a process. And again, it's an exact science. So you have to put your chips on some number, and that's the one you pick based on, you know, all the information you have. I don't think you can just, like, to me, there's no handbook on, well, it's this one thing. It's a combination of things. And certainly talent plays into it.
Bill, you had to feel pretty good about Gerard last year, you know, picking him that high. Are there a couple guys, specifically linebackers, do you think are at that same position that could come in and make an impact?
You know, Gerard's a pretty special player. I don't know how many players there are like him, you know, year in and year out in the draft. You know, guys that will come in and, you know, lead your team in tackles and play in every game and be as mature and be the kind of leader, be the kind of consistent, steady performer that Gerard was, you know, from day one through the last game of the regular season and, you know, every day in between. I don't know how many of those guys there are in, you know, in many drafts. So I feel like we were really lucky. We're lucky to have Gerard. He did a great job for us last year, and I know he's worked extremely hard this year in the off-season program, you know, like he's a rookie all over again. So you know, I think we're really, really fortunate to acquire Gerard, have him on our team from last year, and I think we'd be doing real well to take one like that every year. I don't know how many of those guys there are.
Can you give us
But, you know, there's Brady in the sixth round, so 200 and some, whatever it was, 200 players went before him. So Johnny Unitas in the ninth, right? It's an inexact science.
Given all those variables you talk about, the term inexact science, in your mind, is there, they're not necessarily active,
there anyone who is good at it?
Again, I think the whole team building process, it's all, you know, it's a combination of a lot of things. I've looked back and read about how bad our draft was 2 years ago. That was the one where we traded a second for Welker and traded a fourth for Moss. So by draft standards, maybe it wasn't a great draft, but I'd like to think those two players helped our team, you know. So again, to me, the final measuring stick is, you know, what's your record? How do you do in October, November, and December? Like, those are the grades that matter. You know, how many points you got at the end of the game and how many points they got. I mean, with all due respect to all you guys who are going to be giving us grades, it's, you know, you don't get any points for that. You know, you get points for winning games. And that's what we're here to do, is build our team, whether that's after the draft, like Pierre Woods, who signed his tender, and are you ready to go with us this year? Whether it's a guy like Pierre Woods after the draft, whether it's a first-round pick like Mayo, whether it's a trade like Randy Moss, whether it's some second-day guy like Brady or Castle or Copen or somebody like that, whether it's Steve Neal who doesn't play football. You know, wherever they come from, that's all part of the team-building process. And, you know, when you get a chance, you get up, come up to the plate and you get a chance and you can make one of those count, then that's how you build your team. And some people say build through the draft. Well, of course, that's an important part of it. But there's other ways to build your team as well. And also that when you get a player, there's a way to develop him so that he's a better player in year two, year three, year four than he was in year one, Matt Castle. So, you know, could Matt Castle have done last year what he did 4 years ago? Doubt it. So there's player development. So it's a long process, but it's fun. Beats working. Beats going to work every day. Okay.
You brought up Brady. I just asked very quickly, was there any concern about his safety when you saw that shots were fired out? Or was that your security staff down there?
I don't know. That's not really my area. But Tom's been doing well. He's doing his off-season work without any limitations, so he seems to be doing fine. Okay. Thank you.
See you this weekend.
All right. That was Bill Belichick with his pre-draft press conference. You heard it here live on PFW in Progress. Let's take a break. We'll be right back.
MLS soccer action returns to Foxborough as the Revs kick off the 2009 season.
Gillette Stadium comes alive!
Be a part of the action all season long as the Revs make another run at the Super Liga Championship and an MLS Cup Championship. Season tickets are now on sale for the 2009 season. This 20-game package features 15 regular season and 5 exclusive soccer matches. The Revs kick off 2009 on April 4th when they take on FC Dallas. See a Super Liga final rematch with the Houston Dynamo. Conference rival DC United's only trip to Foxborough. Be there when the LA Galaxy take on the Revs. The reigning MLS Cup champion Columbus Crew and many more. Taylor Twellman.
Oh, what a goal by Taylor Twellman!
Matt Reese.
Off the line, saved by Reese!
And the rest of the Revs are set to kick off 09. And you won't want to miss a minute of the exciting action at Gillette Stadium. Call the Revolution Ticket Office today at 1-877-GET-REVS to get your 2009 season tickets. Pride, passion, revolution!
Patriot Place in Foxborough is the ultimate shopping, dining, and entertainment destination in New England. What's your Patriot Place experience?
We took the kids to a movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe and finally went to Red Robin. The burgers were amazing. It was so much fun. Everyone loved it.
We had girls' night out at Patriot Place last weekend. A little shopping, dinner at Davio's. It's just like the one in Boston. And we had drinks at the cutest little wine bar called Tastings.
Experience Patriot Place. A once-in-a-lifetime experience every day.
Honestly, I'm here about once a week. I always find great deals at Christmas Tree Shop and Old Navy. And the shoes at Off-Broadway are unbelievable.
Patriot Place is located next to Gillette Stadium in Foxborough with convenient and free parking.
Bass Pro Shop and Eastern Mountain Sports have everything I need for my camping and hiking trips. And we love CBS Scene Restaurant. They've got about a million TVs, and their outdoor deck looks right into Gillette Stadium. It's so cool.
Log on to patriot-place.com for more information. Patriot Place. Everyone wins.
It's a Patriots Day sale at PatriotsProShop.com. Celebrate Patriots Day by saving 20% off everything at PatriotsProShop.com. Get your favorite Patriots gear like jerseys, hats, sweatshirts, women's and kids' apparel, and much more. Make sure you have the latest gear for the NFL draft.
The New England Patriots select.
And the Patriots 50th anniversary season. PatriotsProShop.com has the widest selection of Patriots merchandise anywhere. And for 2 days only, it's all on sale.
Unbelievable!
Plus, spend only $5 on shipping for your entire order. And you'll know your gear is authentic when you purchase from PatriotsProShop.com because it's sent directly from Gillette Stadium. This sale ends on Tuesday, April 21st, so don't wait. Log on to PatriotsProShop.com today. PatriotsProShop.com. If you were any closer, you'd be in the locker room.
Fred's the boss, the chief, the leader of the PFW in Progress clan. And while he often goes on rants about fun facts, Skype, and making $5 the hard way, he sometimes has interesting things to say, or at least when you can hear him.
PFW in Progress.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. I just got yelled at because I didn't have my mic on.
Why don't you put your mic on?
Welcome to PFW. I had my mic off again.
Again.
Two shows in a row. Turn your mic on, Fred.
Oh, I should remember to...
As sure as the stars shine above.
And Fred didn't turn on his mic.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress.
That's the longest you've ever gone.
And now, back to PFW in Progress. That is, if Fred remembers to turn his mic on.
Add another one today. I forgot to turn the mic on. Introducing Bill Belichick's press conference. That's all right.
So no one ever heard the press conference?
That's all right. Well, we're back here.
Just heard him talk.
The gang's all here. You just listened to Bill Belichick's pre-draft press conference. Obviously, we didn't learn anything. Not that we were going to learn anything. I took a couple interesting things out of it. The guys are here. They just came back from being there. I heard Eric ask a question that really wasn't answered. And I heard Andy ask a question that really wasn't answered, but that's okay.
Are you surprised? Are you surprised? Wait, are you blaming us for that?
Well, I think you should ask better questions.
Okay. I think you should listen better.
So I heard other guys get, oh, that's a good question.
That doesn't mean it's a good question, and you know that.
Did you hear an answer to any question today?
Yes.
I did, actually. I'm guessing a local writer from UConn was looking for a layup, and Bill gave him the layup he was looking for.
That was great.
And I'm not. This is not to be critical of Belichick because I thought he was excellent today, to be honest with you. But a pre-draft press conference isn't exactly where you want to go to get your nuts and bolts about the draft.
No.
I mean, it just doesn't make any sense.
The things that I, this isn't news or anything, but he stressed early on that it doesn't matter what anyone says about a player, doesn't matter what grade he gets anywhere else. It just matters what you value the player at. And every team's value is going to be different depending on the makeup of the team and the types of schemes they run and so on and so forth. So, you know, that just, you know, enforces the fact that every year they do something we didn't expect. They take a player usually a little higher than we thought. And that just is because their value board may be different than Mel Kiper's or our lads or NFL Network. And that's
just
the way
it's right either.
That doesn't mean
it's
right. Because
as he said, we all know the list of picks that weren't good ones.
That's right.
So it's an inexact science, as I believe he said.
How many players get picked every year?
260.
260. They can't all be, you know, players in the NFL.
Right.
You know, so there's going to be misses.
And that's what he said, going from high school to college. And there's no guarantee anytime you jump a level that the guy's going to be great.
Yeah. What did you guys take? The other thing I took just before was he was saying how he doesn't mind trading before the draft picks for picks.
And I don't get that.
And I don't either.
Because he's the ultimate, why do something ahead of time?
Exactly.
Why not make sure I have all the information at my disposal before I do it? It just seems to me that's an obvious one that you could set up the parameters, but say, you know, we'll revisit this at the time when it becomes necessary, when the first pick.
You know, unless you are just so sure about your value that, let's say, I want to get out of the third round. I don't think anyone's third round value.
Right.
And I'm willing to take a second round next year, you know, to do that.
But what if a guy you have rated as a second rounder slides into the third?
That's,
there's no guarantee.
That's the point.
That's the point.
That's very strange for me. And he was very open saying, I'm willing to do it, but pretty much no one else is.
Yeah, well, there's a reason, I think. But you know.
I guess.
The main thing I took away from this today was that he
Pierre Woods signed his tender?
Bill threw that in the middle of an answer.
I know.
And never has something not fit more.
A guy offering up information about a question no one was really asking.
No. But we had kind of been saying all through this offseason that there's really been no consensus as to who the top player or players were at each position.
Right.
And Bill kind of came out and said the same thing. There really is no consensus there. There might be some depth at a lot of different places.
And I think that includes quarterback.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Actually, he included quarterback.
Yeah.
Several times.
Yeah. So, you know, just it was an okay press conference.
Did you find it interesting how many times he mentioned Matt Cassel and how many different ways he mentioned Matt Cassel and the
development? Well, as far as a late round pick that worked out, I mean,
that's a little weird.
Well, I think it's, you know, I think they're very proud of themselves to have picked a guy who never played really college football.
Right, but as I said to Paul, I picked the Bucs to win the Super Bowl in 2002. I got to move on, Bill.
No, but I understand that. But, you know, we make fun of them for saying, oh, we picked Tom Brady in the sixth round. We all know that that was, you know, it's lucky that that happened the way it did. It wasn't luck about Matt Cassel.
I agree.
You know,
Matt Cassel was a better pick than Tom Brady.
I think he's by far a better pick.
Yeah.
And not because he's gone on to better things, but I think there was a lot of foresight that not a lot of people had with Matt Cassel.
Right.
You didn't have that tape to watch.
That's right.
Brady, everybody got to watch him and evaluate him.
Right.
And they evaluate him as 199th.
Yep.
Cassel, you're flying blind.
Blind. And the only other person that is Norm Chow wanted him. And obviously the reasons, and they were surprised that the Patriots used a draft pick on him.
Right. So I think, you know, there's a reason why he brings up Cassel in terms of, you know, a late round pick that worked out. The other thing I want to throw out is a pre-draft prediction I'm making. And obviously we won't know if I'm right for another year or two. But Mark Sanchez will be a better NFL quarterback than Matthew Stafford.
Stafford.
Okay.
Yeah. I could.
I think
I'm not going to quibble with that.
Going to be the best.
I'm throwing that out.
I think that's an absolute 50-50.
But you didn't like Freeman.
I think both of those guys are going to go in the top 10. And
I don't.
I think you could find 50 guys that think Stafford's better and 50 guys that think Sanchez.
I don't think any of the three is going to be a franchise quarterback.
I think Freeman will be the best. I think he's terrible.
I think Sanchez is going to be a serviceable backup. I think Stafford will be out of the league. And I think Freeman's going to be a guy that shows some talent but is never great.
Is there any chance that all three of those guys don't get picked within the first 10 picks?
I don't think there's a chance at all.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Freeman is not going in the first 10.
Well, but
all three of them,
But Stafford is projected to be number one overall, perhaps.
Sanchez has a chance to be.
Oh, wait, you mean none of the three?
None of the three.
Oh, okay.
I don't think there's a chance of that at
all. Not just one of them.
I don't.
I
don't either.
No chance.
No chance. Okay.
But Sanchez could go anywhere from number four to Seattle to
You don't think that there's any chance that Detroit is putting up a smokescreen? They don't intend to take Stafford?
No, but there's nine other picks, and I think there's enough teams looking for quarterbacks that if all of a sudden they're all sliding, someone's going to jump into the top 10 to get the guy they want.
Mm-hmm.
I think that could be the surprise. What's that?
In an effort to entice someone to trade with them?
Oh, I don't know, but I just...
I mean, otherwise, why would you want a smokescreen? You can pick whoever they want at number one.
That's true. But, you know...
I think Sanchez doesn't get by eight, because I think if he's still available at eight, that's Jacksonville's spot, I think. And they're like basically begging people to trade with them. So I think someone trades up to eight if he's still available. Maybe the Jets.
Yeah. Okay. It'd be interesting. I see it, Jason. Before, when the show starts, you have to talk a little bit. You can't go right to a phone call.
I know.
That's not good radio. I saw it. Okay. I'm okay. It's all right.
I figured 1:30 would come around and go, wait, who's on the phone again?
Listen, we'll get to him in a second. All right. These guys just got back from the press conference. I need to debrief a little bit.
I know.
Wow. Okay. Wow. All right.
Whoa. Someone's on edge today.
No, I just, you know, the nagging, the pestering.
Oh, now he's calling it nagging. Wow, that hurts.
All right.
Where's the Tacoma? Oh, there he is.
Anything else you guys took out of the press conference that you want to bring up?
Let's see, what did he say?
Well,
I thought it was interesting. Now, I don't necessarily buy it, but saying that free agency hadn't really altered what they were looking to do in the draft.
I don't buy that either.
I mean, you signed potentially two starting cornerbacks, first of all. Otherwise, you would have had a dramatic need there.
But in terms of, you know, the future of your team, if there's a cornerback that you value, you're going to take him regardless of what you did.
Right, but the necessity would be higher if you
did. Sure.
We're all talking now, where we're all assuming that outside linebacker is going to be the biggest area of need because they traded away a veteran starter.
Right.
And they don't really have much on the roster
now. And that's a
good
point.
Pierre Woods,
it's not necessarily who you brought in, but also who left may affect what you do on draft day. And I think, if nothing else, Mike Vrabel, you know, is created the biggest need on draft day.
You and know, if they hadn't signed Bodden and Springs, maybe now there'd be two areas of drastic need. And then you could
now
say,
you have one.
Right now, as the way I look at it, they need somebody, an outside linebacker, who's going to contribute right away, right now. I don't know if that's going to be answered in the draft.
Right.
It's not the same at cornerback.
Right.
Cornerback, they need to build for the future. But outside linebacker, they need something this year.
Absolutely. Which means they'll have
to. But had they not signed Springs and Bodden,
Without
they would have been similar.
No, that's true.
Cornerback would be probably a bigger need than outside linebacker had they not done anything.
Yeah.
Because you could not go into another season with Ellis Hobbs and no one else.
Yeah, no.
And Bill definitely continued his. Gerard Mayo is my favorite player ever. I mean, the guy's less than a year into his career.
Yeah, but
and
you
he's
know what?
Gotten some
you know what?
Pats
it's
on the back like I've never
he
heard.
He continues to prove what he said he is.
I understand
he
that.
He loves football.
But I think he's now
a film
at the top
junkie.
Of the list. I think he's past Tom Brady, and certainly quicker, based on a lot of different circumstances, to the height of respect and praise from Bill Belichick.
Well, he earned it.
No, I know. I'm just pointing it out. I mean, Phil Sims reached Super Bowls before he was the hardest worker and all this.
He earned it. He has.
But why do you continue?
I'm not saying he didn't. I'm just saying when Bill Belichick, less than a year into your tenure on his team, goes so far above and beyond in praising you, it means something.
Brady
it's
didn't
valuable.
Play right away.
Why
like,
are you
like
so angry?
Oh, for Christ's sakes, just move on. Take the call. Do something.
Why are you so angry? Why are you making this out to be like saying that Mayo doesn't deserve it?
I want to let people know that around 1:30 today, the Patriots will be announcing their 2009 Hall of Fame nominees, and you'll be able to go to Patriots.com and vote. Voting, I think, is going to be open until I think around July 4th or something, but go right away. If you vote early, it counts more. So get to Patriots.com.
Who are you, Obama?
Get to Patriots.com and vote for your 2009 nominee from the three.
You're going to give us a sneak preview? PFW in progress, a little sneak?
They want to let the families hear from us first.
Well,
announced.
You don't think they listen?
Well, I think Stacy was going to call them, but
can you
it's
give
John
us,
Morris, Jim Nance, and Houston Antoine.
That's what I was looking for.
I was just going to say, can you give us offense or defense? Or
no, he just gave us the three
names. That'll suffice.
Who are you voting for?
None of the above.
You're not voting?
I don't, you know. I'm not excited about this class. I'm sorry to say.
Wow.
This is taking an ugly turn. I was just kind of kidding with them.
You know my criteria.
Yes, we do.
So you're refusing to vote. You're not going to show up.
No, I'll probably vote. I'll probably vote for John Morris.
By all accounts, great center.
Yep. The best in Patriots.
Which
history.
I understand your lack of enthusiasm because it's hard to get excited for the great centers.
Exactly. Right. But I'll probably vote for John Morris.
Not Nancy?
Nancy Morris? Who's that?
Go ahead.
All right.
I can't believe you spilled the beans.
Webradio at Patriots.com.
I also liked the, you know, talking back about the press conference, how much Bill was talking about this week, getting on the phones, finding out who's interested, what potential trades, and I mean, it's clear. I mean, it's one thing for us to say, look at all the picks they have, look at all the flexibility. It's another thing for Bill to say, look at all the picks we have, look at all the flexibility potentially we bring into the draft this weekend.
Also interesting that he goes, I think if you look at those charts, we get up to, you know, 10. I like that, knowing that he's checked out where we could get up to if we
need
to.
I thought that was interesting. Most of the stuff that I found useful was the stuff that he said at the beginning, not necessarily answering any of the questions.
I
also
reestablished when he's talking about the flexibility.
He's excited.
Why
wouldn't he be?
Yeah. I mean, and you compare it just the way he did to last year at 7-63 or whatever 62. They had no
It's like a little kid going into a toy store with like a $100 gift card.
Yeah, wait till
you can have anything you want.
Wait till he gets
you know?
Peppers. Yeah. And you'll see how giddy he is.
All right.
You're
on board with that now?
But didn't
No.
Didn't he bring back some of your belief in that trade value chart, too? He said over a long...
That's clearly what they still use.
Right.
Based on that answer.
You know, so every once in a while, there's something that throws out of whack. But if you look at history and trades and different things, it kind of all evens
out.
Well,
it's pretty easy to take that draft chart and figure it out in today's numbers by just using inflation and say, okay, first round is inflated this much. Below that hasn't, so you just adjust the points accordingly. And you can come up with your own chart based on that chart.
Yeah,
and
evidently Bill hasn't done that.
Because
Bill
thinks, basically right.
Bill thinks the one that's in use, I think, is basically the one they
so
use.
So check out your latest PFW if you want it.
All right, PFW web radio at patriots.com is the email address. On the phone now, we'll get to him, is John in L.A. John, how you doing?
Pretty good. Hey, Fred, way to push the organization and the website with the new feature on the Hall of Fame. He's generally excited.
Okay. Are you being sarcastic or not?
I am being sarcastic.
Yeah, you just said you're not voting.
Well, yeah. That's a personal thing, you know?
You should exercise your right to vote.
Yeah, but you have how many thousands of followers on Twitter?
Yeah, all those people that are tweeting behind you, you know?
They'll vote. People will vote.
But if they hear that you're not voting, they might say, you know what? The almighty Fred Kirsch isn't voting.
You are their leader.
I don't worry about that.
All right. I got the hiccups.
People will vote. Everyone has their own opinion, Eric. That's why this is a democracy.
You expressed yours, and I don't think it's the same as the organization's.
All right, John, what do you got?
Well, I don't want to read too much into Belichick's attitude about this, but while I was listening to you guys, definitely the sort of kid in the candy store sense came through. And I wonder if in any way that also suggests how excited he is about this particular draft class, and not just the fact that that they have a lot of picks throughout the first day.
Well, that's what I tried to ask him. That was basically the question I was asking
him. Didn't come out right?
No, he didn't answer it.
Oh. Well, you said you tried to ask it.
Well, he tried to get
it. Did you or did you not ask it?
I asked it.
So that's the question I asked, then, is how you should frame that statement.
Oh, my God. You really are. You're bitter with everybody today.
You didn't try to ask him. You asked him.
What is wrong with you?
Use the English language properly. You of all people should do that.
Yeah, of you, you of all people should try to use the English language properly. No, I do think he's excited about the draft, but the mid-level, kind of what he talked about, that there's no consensus among the tops at every position, but it's a good year to have a bunch of picks and 20 to whatever, 60.
Yeah, which, you know, he didn't, he sort of answered it in his monologue, but then he wouldn't answer it when I asked him the question, which is, whatever. But so
I'm reading about Gil Brandt saying linebacker, John Banks saying Darius Butler. I don't understand, I mean, except for the obvious, which is just to sort of have a story to write. Why do people bother saying stuff like that? They don't know. They don't know. So why do they try to be so precise?
Well, even worse, didn't Banks put that he had a source, a well-placed source or something, telling him that it was going to be Butler? One of them had it in their mock drafts, and they had it like, I know who it's going to be. They're telling me it's going to be this guy. How do you know?
That makes me think it won't be that guy.
And how do you know Darius Butler's not going to be taken two picks earlier?
Well, I'll tell you this. Based on him talking about UConn today, I'd be surprised if Darius Butler wasn't high on the radar screen.
See, I'm not so sure.
I agree with you, Paul.
He's high on mine. I think he would be a great pick.
Why do we just assume it's Butler, though?
Well, no, I don't mean
why
just Butler.
Why couldn't it be Donald Brown? Why couldn't it be William Beatty? Why couldn't it be Cody Brown? Why couldn't it be
Tyler Lorenzen? William Beatty's very good.
I think Beatty stinks, but Bill has drafted players that I think stink in the past. I think
Who
he was
they?
Clearly excited about... What?
Who were those picks? I'm just curious.
Yeah. I don't know. Name some draft picks.
You know the list, Andy.
Well, I know the list of busts, obviously.
Yep. No, I'm just wondering if the ones you didn't like didn't work out. I'm not being challenged.
Well,
I'm
trying to fit, like, Matthew Slater. I think we all question the pick.
Well, even Chad Jackson.
I've actually been
I loved Chad Jackson. I loved him, and he sucked.
But I've been wrong. I think what you wanted to know is not necessarily our picks, but high picks.
I was looking for...
That he couldn't believe didn't work out.
I was looking for somebody in 1987 or some random guy
but
that he...
Andy said that in his question. He said it doesn't have to be your
own picks, apparently. I felt like I had written something bad about his recent drafts or something, and he was fighting.
You know the list as well as I do.
Well, I know, I do. We talk about it every Tuesday and Thursday, noon
to
2.
No, you just need to ask better questions.
That's true. I tried to ask was. No, I asked what I wanted to ask. He just didn't answer what I asked.
Use the English language better next time.
But, UConn, he gave them a nice, but I don't just necessarily assume it's Butler.
I mean, it could be any of those prospects. They're going to have a bunch of guys drafted in the first two or three rounds.
Well, I'm not assuming that they're going to pick him. I'm assuming, based on the way he talked, that that he liked them. That's all.
Could be. I have no idea.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if they sign at least one undrafted free agent from that Connecticut group.
Oh, they will.
Obviously, Darius Butler and a couple of the others are higher than that. But
no, it's Lorenzen, the quarterback. Paul and I have him booked because Bill asked him to work out at safety. He worked out at safety. Yeah. Apparently looked pretty good working out at safety. He will be in training camp as a Patriot.
I mean, he couldn't play quarterback.
No, he sucks. Sure. So Lorenzen is that guy, John.
Okay.
You'd have to watch for that.
If they end up making 11 picks, though, you'd have to imagine that they're not going to bring in as many rookie free agents this year.
That's accurate, Paul. I mean, Eric.
Yeah, right? But they won't do that. They're not going to take 11.
No, but if they have to, let's say for some reason none of the trade offers work out and they're stuck with the 11 picks, you make 11 picks, but then you sign three or four rookie free agents instead of, you know, seven or eight.
That's right. You still can only bring 80 guys into camp,
right,
no matter what.
Right, so. That's what I'm saying. There's...
All right, John.
All right, thanks a lot, guys.
John in L.A.
You can read him every Friday Outtakes on Patriots.com. I just want to say thank you to Cormac today for providing lunch, and we've got his email right here.
He sobered up enough to write an email?
He says, I hope you're all well and enjoying some well-overdue chow from my good self. It's about time, I hear you say. Well, you guys are very much welcome. I know I haven't given you anything since I visited at Christmas, and you guys have been doing a stellar job since then, in particular all the draft coverage. So I have two questions about the draft process. One, I saw a list of the players who the Pats have worked out privately or visited Foxborough. In your estimation and experience, what proportion of the Pats' draft picks in the past were players that worked out privately or had pre-draft visits? I suppose to me, I'd imagine that if I was going to draft someone, I'd want to work them out privately, not in an Eric-type way, and not take a gamble on someone I hadn't met. So will you be surprised, for example, if the Pats draft players in the first round, say three rounds, that have not visited with them? I suppose if you think this is to be the case, then it does help narrow down the list of who the Pats will pick. Or, on the other hand, is it some sort of smokescreen?
Well,
that's his first question.
The visits to Foxborough are separate from everything else. They work out a billion guys. And the other issue is, generally the workouts are for more information. I mean, if they're going down their checklist and they have the college visit and they talk to the coaches and they're all singing the same tune and they watch practice and they observe the same tune and they're watching game film and they see that same tune, those guys are less likely to require more personal workouts or visits to Foxborough, because every step they take, if it's reconfirming the last step, there's less questions. The problem comes in, and generally the workouts or visits, if there's some question involved, whether it's, you know, what the coaches are saying about the guy doesn't really equate to what we're seeing on the practice field, and it might be how he fits in with teammates or whatever. But when questions pop up is when there's more work involved. It's if they go through the process and everything is backing every step, then
right,
you get pretty confident then, okay, this is who he is. Where does he fit on our board? We don't need to do much more information on him.
They have a private workout with pretty much anybody that they could possibly draft. It's just they're not all done in Foxborough. They're only allowed to bring 30 people to Foxborough.
However, the ones in Foxborough, I do understand, involve waterboarding. I'm not. No?
Nothing. And some of the workouts are different. Sure. I mean, you take note if Dante goes and works out some offensive linemen, if they want specifically his eyes to see him rather than just a scout or whatever, or if Bill shows up at a couple pro days and who's he showing a little interest in and why. But they know everything about all of them.
Yeah, because, you know, it's funny how many times you hear a player right after the draft when they're asked, you know, how much interaction did you have with that particular team, whatever team it is, their coaching staff prior to the draft. And you'll be surprised how many times a player says, none.
Right.
The day they drafted me was the first day I had ever heard from.
And that's guys that
so
it confirmed it throughout the process. They didn't need to do anything specific or outside the box.
And just because
other guys like
guy
Chad
here.
Jackson, they have individual things. Mm-hmm. They hand him that sheet and ask him to digest it. And it doesn't work out in the end. There were questions, and you didn't answer the questions properly, apparently, because it didn't work out.
You know, it's tempting to say, oh, they brought this guy in for a visit in Gillette. They must really like him. Well, that's not necessarily the case.
I think a guy that really illustrates Andy's point is Andre Smith. Was a guy who, I think most people considered a top five talent. His troubles at the combine are, you know, well documented now, and I think you probably have him in because all the stuff that you saw and know, you're not sure about now. You want to make sure, let me get this guy face-to-face one more time. Let's have him up in the Foxborough, and let's see what kind of person he is. And we have, obviously, Nick Saban to fall back on for some of that. But with such a gray area, I think you want to do a little bit more and do your due diligence.
And especially since...
And get it right. And he could be available now.
Well, right, exactly. Especially since he's a guy who could be available. I mean, if
he could be available at four. And he could be 20. He could literally go at any pick of the first round.
Right.
Let me ask a question about him.
I think he's going to end up in the top 10 as well.
Other than, you know, not looking good without a shirt and running, I guess, a little slower for a guy that's 330 pounds. What else did he do bad at the combine?
He went AWOL. Well, yeah, he disappeared.
He left, right?
He left early without telling anybody where he was going.
Then there's been issues with his agent. Doesn't have an agent. He doesn't have an agent. He fired his agent, who was his agent, but now isn't his agent. And he was suspended for his last game at Alabama.
What he did, Fred, in my opinion, you hear a lot of NFL people say the combine is like a job interview. Mm-hmm. So to me, what he did was akin to leaving a job interview before it was over without telling anybody.
That's not good.
Yeah, what would you do if you were doing a job interview and somebody said, I got to go to the bathroom, and they never came back?
Just never came back. He wasn't prepared for what I would think, what I would think is the most important thing.
By the way,
I think
that happened to me once. Somebody
it was Andy
interviewing with me. Didn't
Andy went to the bathroom and he was gone for 2 hours and thought he left.
That's a digestive problem.
And you still
but he didn't know that at the time.
No, honestly, that did happen. Our cheerleading director, Tracy Sermani, after she narrows down the field from like 400 to 100, she actually interviews each one of these candidates before the final week. And one literally went to the bathroom and never came back.
Wow.
So
because she was overwhelmed by the...
whatever.
Didn't make the squad, I guess.
Yeah.
Huh?
So,
speaking of Alabama, I hope you guys started on Draft Research 2010 this weekend. The spring game was on ESPN, so, you know, you start boning up. I hope you had your sheets out, writing down some things on the prospects.
I saw a little
of boning up.
Did you really?
I watched it for a couple minutes.
You know why I
liked number four, and you know why I liked him? Because he got tackled by number four at the end of the play.
Well, that actually happens in the real teams, too.
But it was funny, and Saban marching around like a dictator all over the field in his suit.
I was,
he was wearing a suit.
I happened to click it around and just happened. They were talking about what's the safety's name? Rashad Johnson.
Yeah.
They were talking about him and they were showing the guy who's replacing him, and what a great spring he's had so far and blah 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 blah. And they were going and it just caught my attention because they were talking about the guy that's getting so much pub right now.
All right.
Did you watch it?
I think it's amazing that stuff is televised though.
No,
not just televised, but televised nationally. I think it's. I wouldn't watch it. Now maybe if I was a huge fan, but locally, if it was
how many of those are they gonna air?
Fred,
I mean, there are a lot of good programs.
I've never
out
been
there
to the Northeastern spring game.
Is that right?
Come on,
never.
Please,
I'm telling you,
he's too busy with the baseball team. He can't take.
I suppose.
We were on ESPN last night. Did you see that?
Northeastern baseball?
Yeah.
The URI kid crashing through the wall to make the catch.
Yeah. Oh, wow. The second time in like a month and a half in top 10 plays.
That's
remember
true.
The kid flipped.
Mm-hmm. Also a Northeastern victory.
Wow.
Against
Were those your fries?
Heady days in Boston. I don't know. But
there was a bag of fries. You held them up like, whose are these? Then I saw you tear them open and eat them.
I think they came with my cheeseburger sub.
Cheeseburg?
No. On the phone right now is Craig from South Carolina. Craig, how you doing?
I'm doing fine. How you bunch of hosers doing?
Hosers?
Where the hell you been?
Hi, Craig.
Wow.
Oh, dude, you just don't want to know. I've been working my tail off. Don't even get lunch, actually. And
so how are you
calling
us now?
The way security was set up through the internet, I couldn't listen to the show. I had to listen to it afterward. Oh, a bunch of crap.
No. So you've been fired? Why are you available now?
Now that we're on Flash, can you watch it? Can you listen to it?
Actually, yeah.
That's great.
Actually, yeah. So thank you for that, Fred.
You're welcome.
Yeah, and only on PFW in Progress can we hear about such compelling content as cheerleaders walking out of interviews and Paul's bra size and Fred's temper last Thursday.
So how is the male gigolo business?
Craig.
How's what?
The male gigolo business. How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm doing pretty good. I got a definitely need to pass this along, okay? This is something that kind of got leaked out on one of these Wahoo TV channels down here. They were interviewing Panthers left tackle Jordan Gross. He's got a big fundraiser Saturday for a local charity. Anyway, they were interviewing him, and they asked him, who's the toughest defensive end, you know, that he ever faced? And he said, Michael Strahan. He said, first quarter, he handled him pretty good. He gave him a late shove. When the play was over, pissed him off. Strahan went mental, became a monster, and just dominated him for the rest of the game.
Yeah.
So the guy says, well, what about Peppers? You know, you scrimmage against him. He said, oh, it's funny you mention that. I was talking to him last night and told him I was looking forward to, you know, matching up against him in practice. And Peppers told him, you'll get to meet me one time this year.
Oh, interesting.
Wow. Yes, the Patriots are playing the Panthers this year.
Yes, and they're also playing the Cowboys. But
yeah, that's the
anyway, got a quick question for you guys. We don't have anybody among our coach listing, anybody called offensive coordinator.
That's correct.
Who's going to be calling the offensive plays this year?
Bill O'Brien
is our guest.
Bill O'Brien, quarterback's coach.
And that's a guess.
Okay.
Because that's pretty much the way they did it the last time they were in the situation with Josh McDaniels. Is they didn't give him the title officially, but by all accounts, he was the de facto mm-hmm. offensive coordinator. He called the plays that year. I think it was 05, right?
He's on the Josh McDaniels plan.
Yeah. So that doesn't mean they're going to do it the same way this time around, but that's sort of
So in 4 years, he'll be a head coach running a franchise quarterback out of some town across the NFL.
Yeah. Well, that'll work. Whatever works, you know, we got to trust in Bill, right, fellas?
Well, Bill's right, still here, right. So that's the good news.
Oh, yeah. Right. Yeah, amen for that. I mean, everybody else is departing, but, you know, Bill's still there. Hey, listen, I just want to give you a quick rundown. This is my draft if we pick up Taylor.
Okay.
Our first pick.
Taylor or Peppers?
Excuse me?
Taylor or Peppers?
Well, it's kind of an either-or. It's kind of an either-or, really. Both of them are going to be outside linebackers, so if we do pick up either one, and the reason why I went with Taylor is because it's not going to affect the rest of our draft picks.
Right.
First up was Ray Maluga, and secondly, if he's not available, we go with either Butler or Davis. At 34, it wouldn't surprise me if he went offense here. It might surprise us. So either Percy Harvin or Donald Brown. At 47, I think we'll either get William Moore or Rashad Johnson. At 58, I think we'll either get Pat White or Brandon Tate. And at 89, either Derry Beckwith or Jamin Meredith.
All right.
Sounds good.
I like it.
Craig, not bad.
I have no problem.
I think it's it's not bad.
I have no problem with the bulk of those options.
I don't have an argument with
I have
with
preferences.
Brown that high?
I would personally not like that one as much as Harvin, but I have no. I mean, I think that's where he's going to go in the draft.
Yeah. Okay.
I love the way you guys handle that. Oh, I got no problem. While the other guys are laughing their ass off.
No, we got no laughing.
Craig, no, seriously,
I love you, Craig.
I'd be the first to laugh at you. You know that, especially after that broadside.
Well, you guys have done an awesome job. I miss you, Fred. Keep them straight.
All right, Craig.
All right, guys.
Thanks, Craig.
You can't keep Eric straight.
Hey, I didn't actually finish Cormac's email. He's our lunch buyer, so I have to.
More? Oh, okay.
He had a second question. He said, second question, I'd like to know how much the GMs of the NFL teams communicate truthfully with each other on draft day and how much of it is just games and double bluff. For example, if the Pats wanted Vontae Davis, but they knew the Lions would pick him at 20, do they A, call the Lions and say, hey, let's trade, or do they B, call the Bucks who pick at 19 and say, hey, let's trade? I guess they could do option A if the Lions wanted something from the Pats more than Davis. Or is it more, I'm going to screw you over, there's no way you're getting him, and I'll make doubly sure of that now kind of deal? Or does it depend on the teams, such as perhaps divisional rivals don't facilitate trades? Anyway, I'm just curious as to how all these behind-the-scenes deals and smoke screens happen, because we never really get to hear the truth about all of this. Those are my lengthy questions. Enjoy the lunch. And excited for the weekend. That's Cormac in Ireland. Cormac, thank you for lunch today.
Very good.
Thank you for the lunch.
The answer is yes.
I think there's a lot of that, but here's one thing I don't think they do. They don't lie.
Right.
You don't lie to another guy because that just screws you for the future.
I actually think there's less of all the underhanded stuff than we like to make it out to be. I'm sure sometimes, but I don't even think you ever make anything up. Sure, you try to maximize value and get the best deal, But I don't think it's shady.
I don't think there's necessarily a lot of talk about specific players involved. No. I think that it's part of the whole process that you know the other team's needs and what player. And Bill said it today, when teams would trade up, you know that they have a guy in mind. And you look at a team's needs and you say you'll take a position and you'll say, well, it must be
X
player X at that position. He said one of the things that's making this a little bit more difficult to evaluate is that whole thing about we don't know what player X is at each position. So that makes it a little more difficult. But I don't think necessarily when the Patriots would – remember when they traded up for Ty Warren? I used that because Bill also threw that out there today as an example. They traded a fifth-round pick, I believe, to move up one spot in the draft. And you might say, well, why – you know, did they think that they were going to take Ty Warren? Well, they might have thought that. They might have thought someone else was going to trade up behind them that was interested in Ty Warren. But I don't necessarily think Bill's on the phone and he's saying, listen, Jerry Angelo, we really want Ty Warren. I know you're not going to take him, but if anybody else is going to, let's make a trade here. So I don't think they talk specifically about the player.
Right.
Like Andy says, I don't think you lie, and I don't think you have to lie.
You might fib a little.
It's vague.
Give me your best offer because there's other interest.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't have to say there's six teams offering a fourth, but Bill, if you want to make this deal, give me your offer.
Right.
I mean, now, it's like any negotiation. If you go to a car dealer, you know, you have an offer, the car dealer has an offer. At some point, you either make a deal or you walk away. You have to be willing to do both.
Right.
And I just don't think there's as much espionage and that we like to play
now,
it
Bill
out
might,
to be.
Bill might give us the nuts and bolts of one of these trades. I mean, we'd be fascinated to see how much in depth and detail they get with each other, and I'd be surprised. But I kind of agree with Fred and Andy. I think it's a little bit more vague and not lying, but just kind of just vague, intentionally
doing business.
Vague.
Yeah, I mean that's how
you're both kind of on two opposite ends of the business spectrum.
It's the same
at that
as
point.
Anything else. I mean, when you're
you want the most, they want to give you the least.
Going,
and
yeah, you're
meet
going
in
for
middle.
A job and you're looking for a salary, and they ask you what you you know.
Right. You don't want to be the first one to say it because they might say more than you thought they were going to say, right? All right. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. Webradio@patriots.com. 508-543-7482 is the phone number. And on it right now is Mike from San Francisco. Mike, how you doing?
Hey, I'm good. How are you guys doing?
We're doing great.
Is this Mike Singletary?
Absolutely.
All right.
Not my real name.
What's up today, Mike?
I can't believe anyone would suggest that our Bill Belichick would ever tell a lie.
No.
Not on this show.
Oh.
Okay.
Sometimes there's a gray area between the truth and lies.
It's just misinterpreting what was said, that's all.
It's so gray.
I'm sure, the gray area is as big as the gray hoodie, but I don't know.
Mm.
For a fact. So how about an over and under?
I love it. Go.
Go ahead.
37 receptions for Mr. Greg Lewis this year.
Over.
Under.
Under.
Over.
Under.
By a mile.
Oh, God. What a moron.
Oh, okay.
Over by
that's Andy's
two dozen
guy.
Catches, baby.
Oh, really?
No.
Yep.
Andy hit
but,
a considerable
But, Mike, if
head
I'm right, you got to send me lunch, okay?
16 special teams tackles.
I hope Andy's right, actually.
Okay. But he will have over 50 receptions. Thank you. Next question.
I hope you're right.
Did nobody say under?
All three of us.
I said under.
The other three said under. Andy says over.
The three visionless fools said under.
Okay, I say under unless, definitely under unless Moss or Welker get a serious
injury.
That's exactly.
No,
situation.
Now you're going to have all these little rules and regulations.
No, only one rule and regulation.
Okay.
Go ahead, next one.
That's the only over-under I have. The other thing I have is regarding the draft with this Pat White fellow. I am not a big believer in the Wildcat, and I'm not a big believer in running quarterbacks like Mike Vick or whoever you might want to mention. I would not be in favor of drafting somebody for Wildcat purposes above the 97th pick.
But the thing is about him is we think he would do more than just run the Wildcat.
Yeah,
we think he could be a third, fourth receiver.
Right.
maybe do some things in the backfield, maybe act as an emergency quarterback.
Well,
he wouldn't just
be a wildcat.
You're
not saying he can be a third receiver. That's now you're drafting him as a receiver.
A slot receiver type
slot
guy.
Slot receiver, yes.
We're drafting him to do more than one thing.
But I might not necessarily think he's good enough to do just that.
Exactly.
But that coupled with this other flexibility
makes it a valuable pick.
And I might think he's going to be a slot receiver in 2 years. Not be immediately, boom, come in, catch 45 balls.
If Percy Harvin and Pat White are both available.
Percy Harvin.
You take Percy Harvin.
Yeah. Okay. He's more proven at what I would
too.
But I think Pat White's a better athlete.
I would take Pat White.
I think there's a good debate there. Because one's more of a projection.
Eric would take Pat White.
Because he's a great runner. We've seen that. We know he can throw. And like Andy said, he's a great athlete. The projection is, it's easier to project him doing more things than it is to project Harvin doing more things.
Well, I don't know about that.
We don't ever see Harvin
throwing
the
ball. It's easier to project Harvin as a wide receiver.
And a running back. I mean, he's played at least
two
positions.
He's more running back than he is a wide receiver.
At a high level
of
football.
He's been a running back, but I think the worst you're going to get out of him is like Steve Slayton.
Right.
That's why I would pick Percy Harvin. I think the
chances of him. Now, he has durability issues. If you're weighing the whole I think it's a very intriguing debate. If you have your eye on any type of Wildcat prospect, those two guys are very unique and
intriguing. White can throw the ball. That's the difference.
Right.
I'm intrigued by Pat White, you know, and what he might be able to do as a Wildcat player, but I'm not drafting a guy in the second round to just play three or four plays.
Right. No, exactly.
He would have to project to be something else, whatever that something else is.
Right. It's like when they have college prospects that are and they don't have a position next to them. It says athlete.
Yeah. And I think he could do that. I think he could be that.
I do too.
Mike?
Well, this is something I know you guys love talking about this guy. When people talk about him as a wide receiver, I have to wonder, I mean, has he ever cut a pass anywhere? But on the other hand, I also wonder, how come nobody talks about him as a running back? I mean, could he conceivably be another Kevin Falk at some point?
Yeah, but Kevin Falk is 212, 215.
He's smaller than
shorter.
This guy's 190.
I mean, Kevin Falk is more built.
Yeah.
Yeah, he has
a bigger frame.
He's got the bigger legs. Bigger,
And I'm not saying that down the road Pat White couldn't be a third down back.
Yeah, and I think I was going to say you could do that with the way they've used Falk, because Falk is not a traditional running back. He couldn't hold up to a 350 carry season.
Right.
No way.
But I mean
they'd have to teach this guy how to block, and that would be probably the key issue.
Right. But then you get back to the whole theory, as a quarterback, he's more used to reading defenses, and blitz pickup might come easier to him because he understands blocking schemes and where the defenders are coming from and all of that.
And that's the hard part of blitz pickup, is knowing where it's coming from and being prepared for it.
And that's the one good thing about projecting a quarterback to other offensive positions is, in theory, he's well-versed in offense enough so that it comes a little more naturally to him than other guys trying to make transitions, because he's always been aware of what everybody's doing on the football field.
All right, Mike.
All right.
Thanks for calling. Mike from San Francisco.
I like that question from Mike, that Percy,
I think it's a good question.
The whole thing with
I would say Harvin. I think Harvin's a more valuable prospect. If I had to put together like a big board, I would think I would have Percy Harvin a good 20 slots higher than Pat White or more, maybe.
Yeah, I would be willing to take Harvin at 34, whereas the earliest I would take White would be that last one.
Now, and we're kind of limited because we haven't seen the workouts.
Right.
I would like to put Pat White through a workout. If you give me the chance to throw him 50 balls at the end of it, I might say
he's a receiver.
I can take Pat White. I'll teach him everything I need, but he can catch.
And Bill knows that, because Bill has done that. So if we were privy to that workout with Bill and we said to Bill, geez, do you think this guy could be a legitimate NFL receiver? Oh, no question. Well, now he's on par with Percy Harvin.
Yeah.
I hope we take one, by the way, because we've wasted a lot of talk on Wildcat prospects if we don't take anybody with even an option.
Yeah. I mean, let's face it. Chances are they're not going to take him. What are the chances that you get a specific guy
Just so you know, I'm labeling somebody they take a Wildcat
prospect.
They're
going to draft all three of the big ones, Andy. Harvin, White, and Casey.
Casey, I'm not in.
You loved him at the combine.
No, I love him, but he's a big and slow guy out of the Wildcat. I want a dynamic athlete.
Oh, I know.
He's a guy that would be doesn't like Tebow,
that
runs
would be
forward.
That would be just like the Patriots, to even make the Wildcat
piss
dull
on my parade.
Sean from the Vineyard writes in. He says, "Hey, His Excellence, Mr. Potty Humor, the moral majority in La Femme La Kicker."
The moral majority? When did Paul become the moral majority?
How do you know? Maybe he's La Femme.
Maybe he's Potty Mouth.
La Femme the Kicker?
La Femme the Kicker.
Then it's not Paul.
I knew that you were the kicker, and I knew that you were Potty Mouth, but the other two could have been either one of us.
No, Fred's the excellence. He's the king of the show.
Oh, okay. Okay.
This is his yeah. kingdom. We're just living in
so
it.
So Paul's the moral majority.
Fred, do you like
maybe the emphasis? Maybe the emphasis is on majority.
That doesn't work, though, because Paul does not like the majority of people.
No, but I think maybe the
that's not true.
That would be accurate for me.
Andy hates everybody.
That's true. You just don't like them when you're at a sporting event.
Oh, the majority of fans.
I don't know why
he
doesn't like
so
sports fans.
Right.
Is what he doesn't like.
No,
that's
not true either.
It's accurate.
Let's see. The word.
I don't like drunk sports fans.
Word definition: synergy. When the sum is equal to more than the parts, such as the 2001 Patriots. Over under one starters. Boy, he's really going all over the place.
Is synergy about us?
I guess.
Are we, the show is good, even though we all suck.
I think that's
what
he
was trying to say.
Yeah. I appreciate that. That's good.
Number one, starters, if the Pats draft for need, three. If the Pats draft for need,
they need
three of them will start.
What?
I'd say under.
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 Yeah. Starters, if Pats draft highest on the board. I guess that means highest value on the board. Just best player available.
Draft their highest value player?
I still say it's
I think
under
they're
three.
Lucky to get more than one starter out of the draft. This is a very, very deep roster with a lot of talent that is prohibitive Super Bowl favorites.
Right.
Plus, chances are you get one rookie starter a year. That's saying something for a team as good as the Patriots.
What would you name as the top three starters if you had to pick, if you thought there was a good chance?
Well, if they don't make a if they don't get a Peppers or a Taylor,
outside linebacker.
But even then, Let's say they don't take an outside linebacker at 23. Now there's a chance that you're just getting an outside linebacker and Pierre Woods starts.
Right.
Well, yeah.
But you know? Just saying, what positions could you envision?
Safe
outside linebacker.
No, linemen, offensive linemen. I think they.
Okay, yeah.
Someone
I'll
could
give
get
you that. I'll give you that.
I suppose
outside
linebacker.
Right tackle.
Right tackle. Or maybe guard, depending on Stephen Neal's.
Yeah, exactly. You never know with Stephen Neal.
Well, no, he's healthy and happy. He's starting.
Yeah, I wouldn't.
I'll worry about who's playing guard after he gets hurt.
If we're going just any possibilities, I'd say offensive line is a possibility, although I don't think there'll be a new starter on the offensive line. Outside, inside, and corner.
Okay.
See, corner would spread. Outside and inside, I think, easily could both have starting rookies.
No, I mean, if you drafted but your corner, boy Vontae Davis at 23, you don't think he'd have a chance to win a job?
A chance, but I mean, he'd be beating out two pretty well-respected free agents and an incumbent starter who, despite whatever we've said about him, has been a starter for like 2.5 years.
Well, Fernando Bryant was pretty respected.
He'd only have to beat out two of those three, right?
Right. But I think that would be unlikely.
I would agree. Yeah. Unlikely is a good word.
But you got to add nickel back as a starter. If someone comes on the team and is your nickel back, that to me equates as being a starter.
Well, now you're kind of cheating. Muddy the waters a little bit.
I agree with Fred, but I think we're talking more traditionally right now.
Well, you got to add punter then, because he's not really a traditional starter, but they could use a punter.
Well, if he's a starting punter, then he's starting.
Can't believe you're playing along with my idiocy.
But I think, if you if you got Laurinaitis or Malaluga, there's a chance that they could start right away.
English? You're going to tell me English and
Everett Brown or
Laurinaitis or somebody
one of those guys,
start both?
Have a chance.
Sure.
Those are the two likely spots. So I think the others are.
What about tight end?
A little muddied.
Tight end?
No. Chance.
If they've got like
no
a Brandon Pettigrew,
second
for instance.
Tight end?
No chance. He starts over both Watson and Baker.
No chance.
Let's see. Continuing with
unless
this
H-back. Unless they made
Could
a move.
O lineman chosen. Two.
O lineman chosen out of 11 picks. Two. Hochstein's getting old. Yates is getting old. Britt's getting old.
I'll say. Over.
Push.
Two sounds
I'll
good.
Say three.
D-line chosen in the draft, two.
Push.
I'm going to go under.
Under.
Because I'm counting the outside linebackers as outside linebackers, not defensive ends.
I'll push on that one.
Linebackers in the draft, two.
Over.
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 Pat's over. D-League rating. What does that mean, D-League?
In the league?
Their defensive rating.
Oh, okay, rating in the league. Second.
I thought we were going developmental.
Next year?
Next year, second.
Under.
Under, you mean?
Under being worse than that?
Yeah.
Under.
Yeah.
Let's see. Pats.
They're going to go from what I saw last year to the top two defenses in the National
Pats. Oh, hey, no, that's easy to do. That can happen.
Well, they finished.
That's not
what they finished, 13th last year overall?
That's
I don't
not
know what they finished, but that was a mirage anyway.
Pats
second. That's what they finished.
What are you using? Yards, scoring? What are we
I think it's
here?
Total yardage.
Okay.
Yeah. Pats offensive rating, fourth.
Over.
Over.
I'll take the...
As in higher.
Under.
Okay.
Like Tiger of the field there?
No, I think they're going to be very good on offense, but not as numerically spectacular.
All right, hope you flubbed the word draft and daft, because then Andy and Paul will crack up in the background.
That's what we do.
Andy will try to define the difference while the situation actually defines it, and I'll blow chunks through my nose laughing.
Well, you know what I did want to bring up? I hope all our fans kept track of the Bills-Eagles trade talks over the last week or so, because the headlines involving Peters were phenomenal. Introduce Peters, deal for Peters, a lot of good Peters talk.
You're a child.
Eric, you must have loved
You're
it.
You're a child.
Do you like fish sticks, Eric? Do you like to put fish sticks in your mouth?
What?
What are you, a gay fish?
With tartar
Andy's,
sauce?
No, Andy's recounting
from
a South Park episode.
A whole episode on fish sticks.
Episode?
Play on
trash,
fish.
Trash,
but they did the, can you say
what a maroon?
Can you say fish dicks on TV?
What?
Because they kept doing the Indy Hart where they kept spreading it out. It was initially fish dicks.
Yeah.
Then it was fish dicks. Then it was like fish. Wait for it. Wait for it. Wait. And I was like, I thought the idea was you can't say it, but it's a play on words, so you can. But then they just started saying it.
I don't know.
I want to work for
Have
South
you seen
Park.
That new commercial where there's that Scottish guy who goes around smacking people with the dipstick? And he's like, think with your dipstick, Jimmy.
What's
have
it for?
Have you seen that? It's some motor oil, I think. And it's the Scottish guy, like, dressed in the kilt and everything.
Is this on the Bravo channel? What channel
no,
is this?
No, it's on the Bravo channel.
On the
channel.
Gay porn channel? No. I don't even know what it is. So I can't even make up a name.
It's hilarious.
Is there a gay porn channel? Eric, why don't you tell me?
Andy, why don't you go have...
Eric, what channel?
That could have got ugly if you said, oh, you mean channel 472? It's called blah, blah, blah.
508-543-7482 is the phone number. Jim from Texas is on the line. Jim, how you doing?
Hey, Fred, how you doing today, guys?
Great.
What's up, Jimmy?
Jimmy!
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Jimmy!
Well, it is a glorious day in Georgia. I'm home with my family. My son's birthday is tomorrow. He turns 5.
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
What are you getting him? What are you getting him? Something cool?
Yeah, I think so. We, trampoline, you know, we got a big party. We got a clown coming in, face painting, all of his friends, some of my friends, with a house full of kids and chaos and stuff like that. And took him bungee jumping last weekend. That was kind of interesting.
How old is your 5-year-old kid bungee jumping? Real bungee jumping?
Yeah.
Like off a bridge?
Yeah, I can send you. If you give me send me your cell phone number, I'll send you the video of it. Actually, it's pretty entertaining.
Now, what would make you think we would want to give our cell phone number?
Well, I mean, you know,
send it to web radio.
I got it. Like, I saved it on my phone. Actually, it's a pretty trip thing. But the dipstick commercial you're talking about, I've seen that on ESPN. That's Havoline, and
okay.
That guy would draw a savage beating in South Boston. If he ever gets so no, I mean, I find that mildly annoying. It's like, think with your dipstick. Even when the guy does the right thing, he still whips him. And it's like, that's because you were thinking with your dipstick. And I'm like...
That the whole point was for you to think with your dipstick. Why is he hitting him
again? Yeah, I still don't get that.
That's
one
stupid.
Anyways. But moving on
but
to the draft,
funny.
If we shall.
Yes.
Okay. To answer your question, I have four possible starters. But only with that first... I mean, the first two picks, you could probably do two starters with this. If you picked... Let's just say, for argument's sake, they got English... or an equivalent linebacker at, and I could still tell you this, so Connor Baldwin at 34, which I believe you could still do, I believe he could start for this team, although he might not. But would he be the better player over Pierre Woods, who just signed his tender today? I would say yes. And a corner at 23, which Mike Mayock today on ESPN said that he may go at 15, Vontae Davis, my guy. Sorry.
My guy too, baby. Best corner in the draft.
Yeah, and I kind of am with you on that one, Andy. I couldn't agree with you anymore, but they're saying now that the Texans are interested at 15.
Well, he's ridden a roller coaster.
Could,
he started out as like a top 15 pick. Ridden. He's ridden a roller coaster, Paul.
Yeah,
he started out highly rated.
40 and 15. That's incredible.
Now, it'll be interesting how all the drug talk comes out and whether – it seems like the two things that have hurt him are the drug talk and his brother. Because his brother was a bust, it means he's going to be a bust.
Well, my theory on that, though, is this is indicative of this year's draft. So if you think about this, he was rated in Mel Kiper's book as the 40th best player on his board when the Bible came out, and right now he's could be the 15th player taking the draft. But that also goes back to what Bill was saying. 20 to 40 is about the same,
right.
And that's probably not a reach.
Right.
So if you get a guy like Brandon Pettigrew, would he look, you know, would you want him at 20? Sure. You know, maybe you could get him at 34. I mean, so it's really up in the air. But I think they could draw in the later rounds, I don't think it's a reach at all to think they could pull an inside linebacker in round 3 or 4
that would
start over Teddy Bruschi. Nothing against Teddy. Love the guy. Great man. Good, you know, great career. But let's face it, the guy couldn't, he could cover Antoine Gates when he only had a broken foot, so he can't cover anybody anymore. And
well,
it's like.
And that's why I get, like, this game we're playing start as I get into semantics. I think Bruschi's going to start, but there could very well be a young inside linebacker who plays a lot.
You can make an argument that Gary Guyton played more than Bruschi last year at that position.
So I would be stunned, actually, if Bruschi didn't start. I think he'll be considered a starter, but his play time could be at, like, 25 or 30%.
I would completely agree with that. Paul, what is your theory on you being the moral majority of this program?
I have no idea.
We're about to step off into a very dark cliff and into a big black abyss. If you're the moral majority, good God, that's an angry world that I don't want to live in.
So. Picking fights with ladies at Babies R Us.
I would say that's definitely not the case, me being in the majority of anything. But I think I am miscast as this angry person. I think you guys have me confused with Andy.
You have a lot of pent-up anger.
Well, that's because you went to the airport, you got into a fight with some lady in the line,
that's exactly my point. I didn't get in any fights at the airport.
Well, Fred, that's the way Fred and Andy were describing it.
Exactly.
Well,
Fred and Andy were watching me, waiting for me to get upset.
There were three witnesses that saw you get into a fight with a guy at the airport.
You were about to. You were getting steamed.
You got in a guy's face. The guy with a beard. You got in his face.
About
he had glasses
to,
and a beard.
See, all of these things. About to get mad.
Well, and you had some snide
ready,
comments
ready
to
have
make
a
to
comment,
the guy.
But it never happened.
Well, fair enough. And the final thought I have in closing is the term synergy. You guys actually... That word is appropriate for your case because I've seen the show with the group and I've seen the show individually. It's clearly better when you're all together. And even though you did a great job, Paul, and you and I still believe that you threatened 2G's life in that one episode you were solo in.
I'm sure I did.
And you know what? When you told him, you know, don't be a punk. I could feel like, wow, I think Paul's ready to do something bad. But, but the upside
that's another one of those
really
that's
had
just
that
how I talk.
One of those riveting radio, and he was really being a smart aleck, and I was like, wow. But when you guys are all together, though, at least you all bag on each other, and it's not as bad. So, and I think you're used to it, but when there's an outsider in the group, well, you just can't have that. So,
right.
And in short, guys, listen, I will give you a call Thursday, and y'all have a great day.
All right. Jim in Texas.
I don't want Eric bagging on me.
Hey, Doctor just reminded me, because we started the show off with Bill Belichick's press conference, we'll extend today's show until 2:30.
Wow. I like it.
It's a little bonus a little PFW in progress.
Not really.
So there you go for our listeners till 2:30, and the phone is ringing off the hook. Cedric in Knoxville writes in. He says, love the show, listening to it every Tuesday and Thursday on my way to school. I've got some questions and thoughts. Which team is most likely to draft Ray Maliuga, and is there a possibility to trade up with that team to get him? I know that you guys would not like to move up to get him, but I just like the guy. Having said that, if he's gone, I would like to draft a Larry English. Just do not draft Clay Matthews. The guy is a good player, but not the playmaker that we wanted outside linebacker. I do not know why he's even mentioned in the first round draft discussion. Some guys at the NFL Network said that he was the best USC linebacker at USC Pro Day. It has been 6 years since I've been following USC, and I can tell you that Matthews is good, but not as good as Ray or even Brian Cushing. What are your thoughts?
But I think that's well said. He may have been the best linebacker at USC's Pro Day, but who was the best linebacker at USC's games?
Right.
I think that's Ray Maliuga.
Mm. And Bill said today, too, you know, we can go trade up as high as 10. So, yeah, I think it's absolutely plausible that they could move
I don't
up there
like
and get
Cushing.
Maliuga. I don't like Cushing either. Yeah.
What do you know about Cushing?
I know some things. Second thing Cedric asks is, let us talk about the Julius Peppers trade. I do not think at all that we will be able to sign Vince Wilfork, Richard Seymour, and Logan Mankins if we sign Peppers. I like Peppers, but I don't want to lose Vince and Richard to get him. If you let Logan go and you keep Vince and Richard, I am for the trade. Anyway, is there any of you guys who can give me a realistic plan on how to acquire Peppers without losing Wilfork and Seymour? I got the feeling that Bill has something in mind during draft day regarding Pep and a possible trade.
Well, when you say you're going to lose
Paul,
the guy...
Paul, you're intimating that you think that they might have Peppers, you know, close. No?
I don't think that is completely... The door is completely closed on it, but Eric's the one that's been on it from the start.
Well, from the start, but are you hearing anything that...
No, not at all.
No?
Okay.
Not at all. I think there's a lot of ways you could acquire him without disrupting Will Fork or Seymour. Give me a first round pick, I'd probably get it done.
And you're not necessarily
No, but I think he's talking about now you have to re-sign Vince, you have to re-sign Seymour. You afford all these guys?
No, I don't think there's any question you can. Okay. It's all how you decide to allocate your money.
Right. But what you want to do.
Will Fork and Mankins, those guys are under contract right now through the 2009 season. So if you acquire Peppers, it's not like those guys are going to mysteriously go away.
You're okay.
Right. Worry about this year. Worry about next year. Next year.
That's very short-sighted,
and that's very un-Bill-like too.
Yeah. Oh no, can't do that.
It's very un-Bill-like to look at this year. This year
at the expense of the future.
Next year, yes.
Look, I know you take one art show at a time, and that's the way you should do it.
And after you fail one, you fail the next.
But they need to think ahead. Let's see. Cedric also says, "Is there a possibility to draft Percy Harvin if he's still available in the second round?
Yes.
What about the tight end position? We are not talking about that position enough. I do not think that Ben Watson was what I expected when we drafted him because of injuries. Are there any sleepers at tight end, let us say in the third or fourth round?"
What are you looking for? You looking for a pass catcher? A lot of pass catchers out of the spread offenses in college.
But here's the thing.
You're looking for a sleeper blocking tight end out of Fresno State.
Bear Pasco. Yeah, we like Bear
I have
Pasco.
No interest in Brandon Pettigrew, by the way. I have absolutely zero interest.
Really?
Yeah.
Zero.
I don't really
He's slow. Even though he's the best two-way tight end can run, I don't think he's going to be a great pass-catching playmaker. And I feel like I'm going to get in the same story again where he's going to underachieve as a playmaker, and I have a blocking tight end I took in the first round.
But now here's the thing about the tight end. In years past, the theory was always – you know, the Patriots.
Eric knows his type.
Shut up, idiot.
He couldn't just laugh. Yeah, he had to say why he was laughing.
That's terrible.
Until they drafted.
Eric, don't let him get you down.
I'm trying to, Fred.
All right.
Until last year when Mayo won Rookie of the Year, the history with Belichick was he didn't draft linebackers well. And then all of a sudden it worked out well last year. So far with the Patriots, he hasn't drafted tight ends well.
Yeah, but he's tried. He didn't try a linebacker.
I was going to say he never had problems drafting well at linebacker. They never took one in the first day until last year.
It was the fifth round.
Fifth round was the highest pick.
But I'm saying he wasn't known for drafting stud linebackers.
He wasn't known for drafting any linebackers.
Right. That's my point.
That's the difference. He never swung
in. What, Ryan Claridge isn't a linebacker?
No. Fifth round pick?
I'm only kidding. I'm kidding, Paul.
Whereas tight end, he's taken tons of swings and misses.
Right. So
early.
If you're holding
Graham,
out hope that
Watson,
this is the year,
David Thomas.
If you're holding out hope that this is the year that he swings and hits a home run with a tight end, well, I think your chances are pretty slim, seeing the history of it, that he hasn't done well drafting tight ends.
Plus,
I just don't think they need a tight end. They have three on the roster that are NFL players.
If we're going to look for
other guys that are filling in,
a decent pick who good value. I like the Phillips kid out of Virginia. Good all-around tight end. I think he can be Brandon Pettigrew.
John
comes
Phillips.
From Al Groh's system. I like it.
All right, you heard
Not
it
bad.
Here.
Now, if you're looking for a typical Bill Belichick tight end, it's Jared Cook, who wowed everybody at the combine with a 4.5 40, not really kind of thought of, and then, boom, flashed on the radar with the combine. That's,
you know,
Ben Watson.
Whether it's Belichick
freak.
Or Bill Parcells, I think they look at Bravaro as the kind of tight end that they like. That's the tight end that they're always seeking.
Well, that's
Bill's been drafting.
I mean, he was an all-pro tight end.
Freaks.
Yeah, of course. Everybody wants that. Yeah.
Bill's been trying to draft the athletic, playmaking, fast
Bill's
freak.
Been looking for Antonio Gates.
And that's not Bavaro.
No, Bavaro was a blocker who had good hands.
I mean, Bavaro would be more traditional, like a Pettigrew or a Phillips. The guys are just like good all-around traditional tight end. He's been trying to draft freaks. I think he's been trying
to
draft.
Graham was a freak.
He was a
God.
No, I mean, but I don't think he projected to be a freak.
Yeah, he was supposed to.
I think he projected to be an all-around good tight end.
No.
Have you ever watched his college highlights when he won the Mackey Award as the
Colorado
tight end in the country?
Jumping over guys
in
the secondary.
Absolutely killed people.
Ridiculously
I think Bill
athletic.
Has been trying to draft with Watson and Graham mismatches. He wanted to draft guys that defenses could not match up with. And maybe physically they can't. But the guys couldn't play tight end.
They couldn't catch the ball well enough.
So therefore, the mismatch became irrelevant because they weren't that good.
Right.
Sean McLaughlin writes in. He says, we as Pats fans need to know the big question for this weekend, and it's not any of these questions. Will the Pats pick the cornerback from UConn?
What?
I think they.
If he's available in the second, I think they will.
I think that he's a
34.
Will the Pats trade for Julius Peppers? Will the Pats draft Pat White?
No.
Will Todd McShay punch out Mel Kiper?
Yes.
No.
And will John in L.A. realize his articles are not funny?
No.
No.
I love caller on caller.
The big question is when Ken Flanders will get off his butt and get the new throwback jerseys in stock.
Not soon enough.
NFL.com already has the red one for order, but some of us old timers would like to get the white one. And have the games been decided when and what color they will be wearing the new duds? I looked into this today. Word on the street is that possibly by tomorrow, the Patriots will not only be taking orders for the throwbacks, they'll have them in stock.
Wow.
So unlike the NFL.com that are just taking orders and it's 3 weeks out, we'll have them here tomorrow.
Excellent.
Or this week at the very latest.
Both the red and the white?
Yes. So.
And we're wearing the red on the Monday night opener.
The Monday night opener, we'll wear them. When's the other game,
We know that the first game of the season is going to be a throwback game, and we hear that there'll be two others.
Two others.
Okay.
Yeah. But we don't know when they are?
I don't know exactly when they are.
So possibly
a
road game.
You can rule out a lot of games because it's got to be against another AFL team.
But,
we
have white jerseys, so we're going to wear one of them on the road.
Well, here's a question.
Right?
I don't know.
I have a question for you.
Depends on what if you go on the road and that team wants to wear white. You're out of luck, bub.
Hi-honus.
Bub.
Yeah. Bub.
Does Tennessee count as an AFL team? Would that be one?
They were the Oilers. Yeah, I think so.
You could stretch it.
Yeah.
That'd be a stretch.
But they'd have to
that's
wear
not
their.
A stretch. I mean, yeah. They're the Oilers.
Yeah.
That's the team.
They were the Oilers.
Right. It's a little bit of a
stretch. Well, the Jets were the Titans back then.
I mean, I know. That's,
right, but they're
but
still.
They're, you think of them as the
same
Jets.
Place,
you don't think
the
of them as the Titans.
Incarnation, kind of.
I don't know. Well, we don't know the other game. Maybe somebody from Media Relations who's listening can email the show and tell us when the other two throwback games are going to be.
Yeah, because they were so happy how you blew the Hall of Fame announcement. Toss your frickin' bone.
Did we get that?
Anyway, as for the draft, says Sean, I just hope the Pats get some more help in the pass rush, secondary, and another wide receiver. Best week of the offseason. Look forward to the shows this weekend.
I'm looking forward to the shows, too.
Yeah. It's going to be a wild, crazy
draft.
Gotta plug that. We'll be on at 3 o'clock on Saturday.
No, Fred.
Oh.
6 o'clock
Six
to 9
to
o'clock
nine
on
Saturday.
Saturday.
6 o'clock on Saturday.
Noon on Sunday.
Noon on Sunday.
Noon
see, I do that
Sunday.
Because now we talk. Now people remember it.
No, now they go.
Now they go, when
are
they on?
Or was it
6?
6
to 9.
6 o'clock Eastern on Saturday. Noon on Sunday.
Eastern.
Time.
Till 3.
Eastern.
But available anytime you want as a podcast.
That's right.
Yeah, but you want to listen to it live.
You gotta
listen. I know.
It's
we've
the
been
draft.
Through this before. I say it every time.
Do you think our audience will go up or down because we're doing it so late in the evening?
Hopefully they'll go up and down. Hey.
Oh.
Boy, Paul's just shaking his head. See, he is the moral majority. He doesn't stand for this.
What?
No, he sits for the whole show.
Well, you know.
I think that Andy is somewhat humorous at times. Yeah. Not anywhere near as funny
what
as he
What was the serious question?
Is.
Will the audience go up or down?
You think we'll have more or less listeners because we're at 6 o'clock instead of 3 in the afternoon?
I think the same amount of people who would have listened to us at noon are going to listen to us at 6.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's kind of my whole theory with the draft. People that are interested in the draft are going to watch
exactly.
it and find out about it. And otherwise, you can force it any way you want. You're not going to get the others to care.
I'd really like to get a big audience, so I'd like our listeners to get out the word, Twitter about it.
Tell a friend.
Facebook about it. Do whatever you do about it. And get people on the show.
Here
are you
New
the
England?
Next guy to a million? Are you right behind Ashton Kutcher to a million?
On Twitter?
Yeah.
No.
Have you hit 100?
No.
It's supposed to be
Haven't
nice.
Have you hit 100?
Oh, I'm over 100. Oh, yeah.
Have you hit 500?
No.
It's supposed to be sunny and in the 70s this weekend.
Hey, boss, you're
here
a loser.
But not at 6 o'clock at night.
Yeah, but
I'm sure it'll be down in the
30s. Maybe that'll help us because we're down later.
Are you going to be tweeting?
People can enjoy the day. And I don't know. The Patriots will be.
Who tweets for the Patriots?
It's called Real Patriots. It's a new one. Real Patriots.
What's it? I don't know what you're talking
The new Patriots official Twitter.
Who is it?
It's somebody. It's Pat Patriot.
Is it like the Phantom Gourmet?
Yeah.
Do you know who it is, or you're just being
I actually coy? Don't know exactly who it is, no.
Is that
really?
So they can never be in the same place,
no.
same time, can't
we
get
can't,
killed?
Yeah.
Undisclosed location for
that
the tweeter?
That is something that will never be...
And it's not you.
Now
it's not me.
They're not gonna,
when do I have time to do
They're not going to lose their job when this Twitter thing goes out of fashion in a week.
Oh, they might.
I'm not looking for that.
All right. Who's on the line, Doctor? John in Dallas. John, how you doing?
Another John?
It's the same one who called last week. Good guys, how you doing?
Oh, hey, John.
Yeah, I don't know if you remember last week, but you said it was the second best call in PFW history.
I do. So. You were great.
so I hope I can top that this week. Anyways, I just got my tickets for the Houston Pats game on January 3rd, so right. I'll hopefully be seeing you guys down there.
Nice.
But just kind of going back to the draft, I don't think the Pats are going to trade up. I think they're going to use their 23 and all their second-round picks on picks. I don't think they're going to – I think what's going to probably happen – I think their biggest need, honestly, is probably at both inside and outside linebacker. And then on the O-line and possibly on the D-line. And I think that's where they're going to use their picks. I don't see them going after a tight end. In fact, I think the case for Connor Barwin actually could be both that he could play a tight end. He's got 4-5 speed and pretty good hands. And he could play potentially, and maybe this is asking a lot for a rookie, but maybe potentially on third down as a defensive end or outside linebacker.
Yeah, I think that's a lot to ask, but he certainly has. I mean, he's more experienced as a tight end than he is as a defensive end, outside linebacker type. So
absolutely, but he's got the versatility. I mean, if it wasn't too much to ask, I think he could potentially do a little bit of both.
I don't think Bill would ask him to do both at a high level as a rookie. Mm-hmm. I think if he's a second round pick, and if it's playing out in training camp that he's just a pure backup depth guy, he probably will do both. But if it's playing out in camp that he's going to potentially be your starting outside linebacker, then I think they would minimize, at least early on, his commitment on offense.
Even down the road. I mean, how often did Vrabel go in at tight end? He went in goal line, short yardage situations.
Yeah.
Right. He wasn't doing that all game long.
But he's still
got to
know the position.
But Vrabel didn't play tight end in college either, though.
Right.
Right. This guy, he's got the speed in the hand. So
yeah, I'm not doubting his physical ability. I'm doubting meeting
how much
time,
he can do.
Walkthrough time, mental focus on. Mm-hmm. Oh, I also need to know all the goal line packages above and beyond my responsibilities at outside linebacker.
Right.
Yeah. A couple of things. I don't think the Pats are going to take Matthews, even if he falls. I just don't see it happening. I know a lot of analysts have said it. I don't buy it for one bit.
I hope you're right.
Depends how far he falls.
I would take Matthews over Cushing.
If he falls to the third round, maybe. I don't think he's worth a first round pick. In fact, I don't even think he's worth a high second round pick.
I agree with that.
I don't like.
But in those latter seconds, maybe you could sell me on it.
I agree with you, John.
I don't like Cushing at all.
Not a big fan.
Because I don't think he can play all that well, and I think he's kind of a DB.
And I also don't think that they fit necessarily into. They're outside linebackers in 4-3s to me. They're not outside linebackers in the Patriots system.
Exactly.
And I'm not sure that they can play inside.
Well, now we're getting to what I think Matthews is. A backup and a special teamer.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You don't want to draft the first rounder with that.
He could be a hell of a special teamer.
Right.
Highly overrated.
I just don't draft those
in the first
round.
Right. No way.
You know, we poo-poo drafting one of those in the fifth last year.
Yeah.
What do you know, there's also been a lot of talk, if you look at some of the analysts, people are starting to mention, starting to connect Jerron Gilbert with the Pats.
Well, yeah. I mean, we talked about that back at the Combine when we first talked to him and heard that he went to San Jose State and asked him about any connections he might have made during the fall when they were there twice. And, you know, he admitted that he, you know, talked to some of the players because they shared the same weight room when they were out there. And, you know, it makes sense. The scouting department, the coaches were all out there. They probably didn't do any scouting of the player out there back then because they had their own games to worry about. But at least he became more familiar to them when they did actually start sitting down and doing their homework on this stuff. And they already had the connection.
He's big and athletic.
With the coach,
I mean,
from being there, so that it was probably easier to
Richard
to get
Seymour
kind of
is
info
a
they needed
freak athlete at 6'6", 300 and whatever he weighs in at. Gilbert is of that mold. He's 6'5"-ish and pushing 300 pounds. And if you're looking for a long-term projection at defensive end to possibly replace Richard Seymour, the pool of just pure bodies on the planet that are capable of doing that is pretty small, and I think Gilbert would be at least in consideration of being in that in that mold.
Mm-hmm. Plus, dude jumped out of a pool.
Exactly.
Yeah. I agree
with
that.
It's still one of the most
amazing
clips I've ever seen.
Yeah. I think Adam Archuleta did it, too, one time.
Yeah, but he's little.
Yeah,
he weighed 300 pounds.
Yeah, I think that...
Well, the guy, I mean,
what do you mean? He's like
waist
deep and he jumped out of a pool?
He actually goes all the way down.
He was in the shallow end. And
it's waist deep, but he crouches down to his head
down,
and then just springs
and
out and
up,
jumps up
onto the
pavement around the pool.
Yeah,
whatever.
It's pretty amazing.
The guy squatted over 600 pounds.
I was just going to say, he must squat a ton.
Strong quads, glutes, good bubble.
Yeah.
Fred, can you try that at your party this year?
Yeah. Squatting?
No, jumping out of the pool.
No, I'm not going to try that.
Make sure I'm rolling on it.
Yeah, I'll give you my first four picks.
Okay, go.
Let's see what happens. Okay, English round one.
Sure.
Okay.
Reach.
If Darius You're Butler falls to 34, Darius Butler.
Sure, like it.
Good value.
Okay. If he doesn't make it, I'll take Barwin.
Okay. Mm,
English and Barwin, huh?
That's a little. I'm a little hesitant about that at that pick. But
all okay, right, next
go
pick.
Ahead.
Okay. Meredith.
Yeah, I like him. Great
okay.
versatility.
Yep. Yep.
Okay, next pick, and then the last pick in round two. I think them. It depends if Butler falls, and they get him, they're not a cornerback. But if he doesn't fall, they'll take a cornerback in the last selection, round two.
Okay.
And I think it's going to be probably. I was kind of high on Mickens for a while, but I don't think he's going to make it in round two.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's probably a second day selection. But I'm thinking probably someone like what's the kid from Troy?
Otis McKelvin?
Oh, Sherrod Martin.
Sherrod Martin, possibly?
Yeah.
I can see him being a fit in the pass system.
Mm-hmm. All right.
All
right. But I think they'll go outside / defensive end with English.
Yeah.
They'll go either a cornerback if Butler falls at 34, or they'll take Barwin, who can kind of play. You can use him as a tight end / defensive end or an outside linebacker.
Yeah.
I mean, theoretically, he could play all three positions, couldn't he?
Theoretically.
Well, yeah. When you say play, but do you mean contribute or do you mean start?
No, I mean
play significant.
I'm not saying start day one. That's why I've got English penciled in. Because right. I think English can start day one on the outside. I don't think Barwin will, but I think Barwin can be used in different ways. So he's got the versatility that the Pats like, and I like.
Right.
And then I got an offensive lineman and then a cornerback in round two, and then we'll see what happens on day two.
All right, John.
All right, Jim.
Jim?
John.
It's John.
John
and
Dallas. All right, talk to you later, John.
Second best call in PFW in progress history.
I gotta tell you, if last week was a great call, you set the bar a little high for yourself because this week didn't live up.
Hey, just want to remind everyone to go to Patriots.com right now, right as we speak.
To find out.
Because the nominees are up there for the Patriots Hall of Fame. They are John Morris.
Old news.
Houston Antoine. And Jim Nantz.
You nailed all three.
What do you mean nailed all three?
That's the three that you predicted. That's unbelievable.
Is that right?
He didn't predict it.
Paul. I predict that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think he predicted it.
When you said it. He's covering for me.
Well, we're uncovering for you.
but Reed writes in.
You got all three of those.
He says, hey, guys, in the doctor. Fred, you talked about the Hall of Fame nominees for the Pats Hall of Fame, but let's talk about the potential of a few former or current Patriots of getting into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. So let's play the in or out game. Andy, insert gay joke here.
Pro Football Hall of Fame. Pro Football Hall
Pro
of Fame.
Pro Football. My Patriots.
To be a gay joke.
One, Willie McGinnis.
Out.
Corey Dillon.
In.
Out.
I say out.
Out.
Troy Brown.
Out.
Ty Law.
In.
Otis Smith.
Out.
Otis Smith. Drew Bledsoe.
You called him Otis.
Out.
Drew Bledsoe.
Out.
Out.
Rodney Harrison.
Out.
Really?
Yeah, out.
Adam Vinatieri.
In.
Really? Ted Washington.
Out.
Out.
Okay. And if Asante Samuel continues to play the way he has,
for like
will
10
he
years.
Be a Hall of Famer?
Yes.
He'd have to do it for like 10 years.
Okay. But I didn't say Tom Brady or Randy Moss because it's a given.
What about Wes Welker?
Out.
In.
Well, that's a silly question to Fred.
Fred is on record. If he gets six or seven more 100-catch seasons,
yes.
He'll go in the Hall of Fame.
I would be on record with him if that happens.
Well, much like I said last year, if he gets 100 catches, he's a lock for the Pro Bowl. I think if he gets to 10,000 catches like Fred thinks he's going to, he's a lock for the Hall of Fame.
Yep.
Let's see. Sawyer from Iowa. Now that Madden is retired, I was wondering who was going to tell us things like when the quarterback throws to a receiver in the end zone, it's a touchdown, and then when they get 7 points. What?
Are you mocking John
Madden? I was worried who was going to fill this role. Then Fred stepped up with, it is always better to evaluate the strength of the schedule after the season is over. God bless you, Fred, and thank you for stepping up the answer, the call, if needed.
Eric, have you checked out PFW in Progress lately?
It's been maybe over a week now.
There's some stuff going on there. About
well, there's a nice map of Paul's dream. Have you seen that?
Of his dream?
His dream vacation.
Oh, no.
And there's a nice picture of an RV with Paul's head sticking out of it with a bottle of Miller Lite.
I love it.
And it's got the path through United States hitting all the big college football games.
Oh, that's good.
What's the first one? I got to tell you, LSU is first on my list.
I'm not sure.
Really?
I think it might have been West Virginia.
I'm not sure that's geographically.
West Virginia. I'm not going to
Nobody
West
wants
Virginia.
To go to West Virginia.
No.
you're going to do it, you have to plan in order.
I'd be afraid they wouldn't let me out.
What's the problem, Andy?
There's some stuff on there.
No, not with West Virginia. With
connections to you and some model on the internet, Mandy May or Mindy
May. Oh, yes.
Have you heard anything about this?
I actually sent an email about that.
Misty May Trainer.
And she has a website, which she sort of exposes her bosoms, but she also credits Eric Scalavino and links to Scalavino.com. And
really?
Some people would like to know.
Is this a made-up thing?
No.
This is a made-up thing.
No, wait, let me.
Then somebody went through a hell of a lot of work to make it up, because there's an actual page.
I got
to
find this. Yes, here it is. Paul from London. I'll get to the part where he talks about that.
If it's Paul in London, it's made up.
First of all,
a real page.
First of all, he says, hey, guys, in the double gender that steals lunches, I have one comment for you. Fred, your comment about the schedule rivals when you decided you had a great idea to make preseason games better by splitting the games into two halves. When did I say? I don't remember that one. Anyway, Andy, you are getting your funny side back. A few more well-placed jibes at Eric, and you'll be back to your best. Paul, they do sell buffalo wings in London, and when you come over, I'll direct you to the best place and try to find you some Miller Lights. And finally, Eric, this is what we're talking about. Now, you call me a stalker, which is fine, but it also allowed me to search through Google for Eric Scalavino, and as readers of PFWinProgress.com will know, I discovered something interesting over the weekend. Who would know that an apparent, and I won't say it, artist, would be credited on a artistic nude female's website? Anything you want to tell us, Eric?
I have no formal artistic training.
It's Mindy May, right? Is that the name?
What is it?
It doesn't say here.
Click on the link.
No. There's no link here.
We'll go look at it after. I don't know what the hell he's talking about. No, it's not. Paul in London, though, so it's obviously a gag.
It is not.
It's a gag.
You are definitely on this girl's website. You don't know a Mindy May, a model that goes by Mindy May?
A model? No.
What is he on the website for?
It doesn't really say. Anybody? She lists him. There's like credits, and there's like four places.
If she's a nude model, I wish I did, but I don't.
I don't. It's a girl, you know.
I know that. Wow. I almost said it again.
I think it's real.
I almost called you the A.
I'm 99% sure.
Why did you bring it with you?
Isn't it spectacular?
Bring it with him. It's a website. I assumed if you had the site, you had the email like I did, you'd have the...
Doctor's looking over the site right now. He's going to find
it. It's a real site.
I got to go check that out, my Eric? Little map.
I don't know what he's talking about.
Now's the time to fess up before...
I don't know what he's talking about.
It's always better if you ever watch those cop shows. They appreciate the honesty early.
That's
find out later.
Honestly,
they show leniency.
And don't lawyer up. That always gets you in trouble on Law & Order. Don't lawyer up.
Yeah, don't lawyer up. Just spill your guts and go to jail.
Help. Help them out as best you can.
Oh, ask for the lawyer, you mean?
And this is a good thing. You're on a nude woman's website.
Yeah, she's not hot.
It could be worse.
She's not hot?
Now I'm worried that she's like your best friend. She's not hot.
How?
Because I was first drawn to the breasts, and then I looked up at her face.
Oh.
How were the breasts?
The breasts aren't bad.
Okay.
There's good angles, so I don't know if it's trick photography or something. But
I have no idea.
All right, we'll have to find out.
You don't know any Mindy's or Mays?
I know.
The doctor's looking. Billy Mays.
Hi-ho, I know that you're not necessarily interested in my little college football thing, but if you were, what would be number one on your list for a game to go to?
I thought I was going with you, Paul.
Well, you can come, as long as you want to drive.
Yeah, I know, I'll drive.
Anybody can come as long as they're willing to drive.
You got to drive some.
No, I don't
I'm not chauffeuring you around the country. You got to drive some.
I don't drive. I pay.
You don't drive, you don't make phone calls. What do you do? You don't come
That's
to work
a great
anymore?
Question, Eric.
What do you mean I don't come to work anymore?
You come, but you don't do anything.
That's I think right. Mine would be like Georgia, Florida.
That'd be a good one. That's a good one.
That would be pretty high.
World's largest outdoor.
Yeah, it would definitely be Georgia because I want to see Uga.
I'm going
to
see Florida State at Doak Campbell Stadium.
Georgia LSU would be good.
What game?
Well, I'm not necessarily talking about a matchup. I'm just talking about a venue. But that's a good one, Freddie.
But I guess either probably Florida State, Florida.
Florida State would be a good one.
At Doak Campbell.
LSU, States, though.
I mean, you know, Ohio State,
Death Valley,
beer.
Death Valley
the big
on
house
Saturday
in Michigan.
Night.
Buffalo, the color. Yeah. Why am I basing it solely on mascots?
Holy.
Is that it?
Daisy May.
Daisy May. Damn it, it wasn't
me. She's a 24-year-old from Makawao, Hawaii.
I have no idea.
I'm guessing he's mispronouncing
I'm
that.
I'm looking for Scala. Oh, here it is.
He's looking for boobs.
Let me see.
It says credits, Eric Scalavino, 2008, and it gives your website. I swear it on my life. There it is. All right. Todd in Jacksonville. Hey, guys, just wondering what your thoughts were.
Oh, I actually do know her.
Oh, wow. Okay, what's
so
going
apparently
on?
Daisy May is not her real name.
No, it's not.
What's her real name?
I'm not going to give you her real
name.
No.
So what's this all about?
What is the relationship to you?
Are
you offended that I said she wasn't overly attractive?
No.
I mean, she's not ugly.
No.
She's not.
I don't like short hair.
Tell me in that picture, though, you're not drawn to the breast first, and then the face doesn't live up to the breasts.
Yeah, she is a model. Part-time.
And how do you get credit? What did you do to earn credit?
See, this is the kind of thing.
I know. Just say it, no, Aaron.
This is the kind of thing that
I just know who she is. I am surprised that I'm
how
credited.
How do you know her?
Through the art world. It's a small place in that island.
World.
You see what I'm saying?
She's not really
a
model.
Yeah. This is what gets the moral majority upset.
She's like, you're not really
okay? This is what gets the moral majority upset. You know a model that you've... Mm-hmm. I don't know, at least on the periphery have worked with.
Yeah.
And he's telling you about this whole thing, and you get this blank look on your face. You have no idea what he's talking about.
I kind of... Well,
then all of a sudden you see the picture and you're
name.
Like, oh yeah, I know her.
Because
like
he
deny
was...
deny everything.
Like you know so many
hey,
models...
Fat man.
...and have done
he was
so much
about,
artistic work.
He was
you
talking
can't
about this woman
all?
Named Daisy May, which is... completely different name than
but
I know this girl.
The point is,
yeah,
Eric, you
how
have
many
some
naked
sort of...
models are giving
thank
you credit
you.
On their freaking
thank
website?
You, Fred. Thank you.
My God.
If you
we
can
have
name another
so much experience
if
with
you
this,
can name
you
another,
remember it.
We'll drop it. If you show us another website of a naked model that credits you, we'll drop this whole topic.
What the hell are
like
you
like
doing?
If I find eight more of those, then right. I'll say, you know what, Eric? Now I understand. You just didn't know which one we were
do
talking about.
Do you have about. A, is there a lifestyle here that we don't know about?
Well, you should say, well, I'm on a lot of websites, but no.
The blank look
Mr.
on his
mysterious.
Face.
I go on my walk about at 3 and I come back at, 4:45.
The mysteriously gay guy.
Oh. Nothing mysterious about it.
No, he's just flat out gay.
why do you think that you are on her website?
Is she from Rhode Island?
She has lived there. She's from Hawaii. She's from
she
Hawaii originally.
There. She has actually been to Rhode Island.
Yeah,
she is she in Hawaii now?
I don't think
so. Do you have
so.
Any contact with her?
Lately, no.
Physical or otherwise?
Lately, no.
Does
have
she
you
work
touched
at the
her
Foxy
breasts?
Lady?
No.
Have you seen her breasts?
You've
seen her breasts?
I
naked?
Think, next topic.
Did you paint her?
Hey, I would have had the under on that.
I
would have lost.
And I mean, you saw a nipple.
Can we move on, Andy?
No, this is the best part of the show
ever.
Why are you so...
Did you see nipple?
Why can't you just answer?
Apparently you saw a nipple and it embarrassed you.
For Christ's sake.
You didn't know how to react?
No.
I like those.
Like bags of sand.
Like bags of sand.
Why are you so upset today?
I'm not upset.
You are upset. From the moment we started the show, you've been
you
upset
been.
At everybody. You were
you
yelling at the doctor.
Edge.
You were yelling,
at
Andy. I'll tell you what. I had a disappointing cheeseburger sub from Grandy.
Really?
Yeah.
It's Grande, but...
You got to use at least two patties in a cheeseburger sub.
There was only one patty in the
whole
sub?
One patty cut in half. It was like all lettuce and tomato.
Yeah, you got to have at least two patties. Yeah. I agree. That's why you should stick with the chicken parm.
Never again.
Did you get it again?
Yeah, it was good. Again, for the 572nd straight time. Can we get back to Eric and him
can we move on?
Nipples?
No, can
well,
we
why,
move on? Please?
Why do you want to make
just,
this such a mystery?
You'll make Fred happy if you tell him the story
the damn question
of when you saw Daisy May's nipples.
Not going to happen.
I like your boobs.
Did you touch her nipples?
No. No. Strictly professional.
Professional.
So you did see her nipples in a professional sense?
Yes.
Were you aroused?
Yes.
Wow.
So it wasn't very professional.
Yeah, you weren't being professional.
Yeah.
She may have
very
been.
Professionally.
No,
so you
she
had,
was being professional.
So you had some sort of photo shoot.
It must be the trousers.
Did you draw her?
That was a photo.
So you had a photo shoot with a nude model.
Actually, they're returning these pants.
Has that happened more than once?
I thought that dog in your cubicle looked a little
funny. Okay, Andy, he had a photo shoot with a nude model that he says it's the only time it ever happened, yet you're saying you don't know any...
Right.
I was focusing on the
nude
name.
Nude model.
I was focusing on the name.
And you have no idea what he's talking about.
I said there was a nude model website. I mean,
well,
I should have immediately thought, I was aroused.
The only one I ever was
named
blank.
And it's Paul
blank.
In London.
Right.
It's obviously fake. When you know that you've done
there's
this
there's at
before
least a chance it was real.
Honestly, you
blocked it out.
Do you have the...
You blocked it out of your mind as a good Catholic?
No. Do you have the negatives? Or the digital files?
They're digital files. I don't use negatives anymore.
Do you have the digital files?
Oh, yeah.
I might still
you
have.
Bet
so I could potentially see her.
Between
nipples.
Not and that Fox News channel, he's busy at night.
Since you were totally...
What was the first thing? Between what?
Those files in the
you got
Fox
Hannity on
News
in the background
channel.
While you're, you know.
Oh, God. That's a good one, Freddie.
So why didn't this go anywhere? Were you good at this and you didn't pursue this either?
No, it's a long story and I don't feel like
so tell it and make it shorter than you normally would.
Going
I'll have to think about it.
All right, forget
Move
it.
On,
Let's get
Fred.
Back to the emails.
Eric saw a nipple.
This is not good radio when you don't open it. This is about honesty. That's why people like you laughing. No, they like honesty. They like you laughing. They like honesty.
How did this come about? She just asked you to take pictures of her with her tatas showing.
No, it's too long a story, Andy. If it's
when you tell it, I know. But give us the Cliff Notes version.
Was she totally nude?
No.
No. Okay.
Yeah. I like topless better anyway.
Thong. You remember. Don't tell me you don't remember.
Was there like a well-placed plant?
This is unbelievable. No. It's not even fun talking to you about it.
Yeah. Was this at your house? Wait a minute. This is like step three of a girl dying.
Doctor keeps putting the microphone to his mouth. I don't know. Do you want to say something?
I do. Looking at the credits, every other website has a description of what they did, and Eric's just is blank.
Well, because...
Why is that?
She can't describe what they did. It was... Pure and beautiful thing.
Proprietary reasons why I can't go
into
it. Oh,
for crying out loud.
The other websites don't seem to have an issue with it.
God. Right. That's their
Is this something
thing.
You're not proud of?
Are you the father
of her
child?
You're a little ashamed
of? No.
are you not proud of
I have
of
the under
no.
on that one, too.
Huh? Is
no.
This, no?
No, the photos were never used. So that's why there's no reference to them, Doctor.
Thanks. But you still got a credit.
Thanks for meddling. But no, there's that. That's,
so you
that's
were
the
so aroused that you took blurry photos?
No.
Something got in the way.
You were shaking. Something got. What's that? Blocking the flash. Excuse me. It's just the pants.
This pleated pants.
I'm returning these later, actually.
All right. Let's move on to some emails. Yes,
this is a great segment that you are totally blowing for us.
And I don't think there's anything, you know.
No, it just...
It's a cool story!
You didn't do anything wrong.
No, but...
I've never had a photo session with a nude woman. And I've done a lot of things.
And you have done a lot of things, yeah.
I've never done this, though.
No, it didn't, one of those trips down to the Virgin Islands or something. You know, these things happen.
It didn't turn out the way we'd hoped.
The end result, the photos didn't turn out the way we'd hoped. So
you screwed up.
So we didn't use them.
Was this the first and last time you realized you didn't do well with nude photography or something?
It's because he had no formal artistic training.
Which is impressive. I want to know how I can convince a girl, despite no formal artistic training, to take her shirt off.
He was using a tripod and it became a four-legged thing.
And Fred got the voice midway through that joke.
Yeah.
All right. Todd and Jackson.
We're not going to get it.
Maybe some other time. We'll put this in the memory bank and we'll bring it out at some other point. You know, sometime in June when things, after the mini camp, when things are slow.
Maybe July when we're in the tent at training camp.
We don't forget, Eric. We don't forget.
Can you imagine the look he would give you if you ever did that?
It's like the time you saw that girl's nipples and took blurry photos.
No, it wasn't. They weren't blurry.
So why weren't they good?
The nipples weren't blurry?
You got to blur the nipples. You can't put it on the internet.
All right, Todd and Jackson.
When was this?
A couple of years ago.
So she was young.
During the time that
she's only 24 now.
During the time that you
were. Oh, was she underage?
No, you idiot.
Oh, okay. I think we got to the bottom of it.
She was underage.
I just called you an idiot.
That's okay.
No, I don't think it is.
Yeah.
No, yeah. Fred is an idiot. That has been established.
She was 17.
No, she was not 17.
Okay.
Jesus, Fred.
I think we've gotten to the bottom of it.
Funny, I was singing a song, but I think it's a different one. The new Kid Rock one. She was barely 17.
No. She was out of college, you effing morons.
Okay.
Stop.
All right.
We're not the ones who screwed up the photos. You could have had a long, illustrious career in nude photography.
You could have had a better credit.
But you blew it. Is that the problem? You blew it? It was a wet spot and it got awkward.
Okay. All right. That's enough.
Enough.
That one kind of offended me.
Yeah. More majority got offended. All right. Let's go back to the emails and we'll put Eric aside for a moment. Todd in Jacksonville, guys, just wondering what your thoughts were about UConn's tackle William Beatty.
Sucks.
In your opinion, could he be Matt Leich's replacement?
Well,
that's a funny way to word that.
Yeah, but. No, I didn't really like him that much.
I thought he was terrible, overrated.
He looked as unathletic as any of the tackles did.
Some people believe he has the most upside of any tackle in this draft.
Really?
Yeah, I've read that. And I find it startling.
Nah.
Startling. I didn't like anything
smart.
He did. Well, I mean, he's going to be a second-round pick, so there's a lot of people trying to act smart that think he's a pretty good football player. Matt Leich was a second-round pick and became an all-pro.
That's true.
I mean, there were things that I liked. You know, on tape, I'm just looking at my notes now. I mean, I thought he showed a good amount of strength and aggressiveness. I just didn't think that he moved as well as some of the other guys. I didn't think he was the athlete that some of the other tackles were.
And you have to be athletic in this league.
And he's a pretty high prospect. He's not like he's a fifth or sixth rounder. He's
a second round pick at, area.
So
where is he?
He's held to a higher standard for that. I mean, I didn't think he was terrible, but I didn't like him as much as a lot of other guys.
A little high at times, not super feet, catches guys, doesn't have elite hands.
Didn't use his hands at all. You
no
just
technique.
You said catches guys?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I didn't think he used his hands well. That's kind of saying the same thing in a different way.
He stinks.
Strippers has a little quick draft quiz for us.
Oh, wait. Strippers had a note. Well, we a little bit past it, but at 1 o'clock on ESPN Classic was a Randy Moss Marshall game where he had three touchdowns if anybody wanted to watch it.
Okay. Too late now. Well, they'll repeat it.
No, I'm sure it's still going on.
Was it the West Virginia game?
It was less than a 10-minute game, so it's only 1:15.
Here's the questions. Number one, name the two players. You ready, Paul?
Name the two players.
Name the two players who played in over 400 games between them whose colleges are no longer in business.
Huh. Dave Craig?
That's one. You saw the email.
Played, right? No, he played at Milton College.
That's true.
That's an old NFL 213
games.
Question.
Yep.
I didn't know that he went to Milton. I don't even know what Milton College is. Is it someone who went to, like, Kutztown State? The other one?
No. No, the person went to Yankton College.
Yankton. Defensive lineman?
I think so. Was he a tackle or a linebacker? I'm not sure. I should know this.
What team?
He played with the Raiders.
The Raiders.
Yeah.
For some reason, I remember a guy in the Raiders that
Lyle
went
Alzado.
To Yankton. Was it?
Oh. Yeah.
Was it?
Wow.
Played 196 games.
Defensive lineman.
Let's see.
A topic I wanted to bring up that we
discussed
earlier.
I'm not done with these questions.
Well, sorry, I interrupted, but I'm going to continue. ESPN has an interesting thing going on right now we discussed up in the office. They're doing a page two mock all-time draft. Using this year's draft order, you can draft any prospect who was ever in college and came out into the NFL draft, but it's based solely on what they did in college, what their hype was in college. Mm. And I told these guys, John Elway went number one overall to the Lions.
Really?
The Patriots drafted Bronco Nagurski for his versatility because he played tackle on both sides of the ball. Could play some
fullback. Surprised they didn't get Jim Thorpe.
Jim Thorpe was included.
Oh, yeah?
I forgot who took him. But fans looking on a totally different spin on this draft thing. I mean, it's totally... It's almost impossible to do with any serious nature. They had fun with it. They have like a running commentary on, you know, who they passed over because, you know, Peyton Manning was on the board, but they decided to go with so-and-so or whatever.
Right.
It's a very interesting thing.
And what did it say that Bronco Nagurski, interestingly enough, never won the Nagurski Award?
Bronco Nagurski, interestingly, never won the award, and the Patriots chose to go with the versatile athlete while Dick Butkus, the linebacker, was still on the board, which would have filled a need or something.
Right. Okay. With all the hype about Arakpo, who was the last University of Texas D lineman to go in the top 10?
Casey Hampton.
Oh, I don't know.
No.
I thought it was the guy
Pittsburgh?
That didn't the Patriots draft somebody?
University
Kenneth
of Texas
Sims?
D lineman to go in the top 10.
Kenny from Texas?
Kenneth Sims, 1982 to the
Where
Patriots.
Where was Casey Hampton drafted? That must have been teens then? Because he was pretty high.
I don't remember him being a high
pick. He was a first round pick.
I'll look it up.
Casey Hampton, wasn't he a linebacker?
No, he's a defensive lineman.
Let's see.
He just shrugs and goes to read the next
team. Next one. Which NFL team this decade has traded 6 draft picks for quarterbacks and none of them are on their current roster?
The Bears.
Wrong.
I'm trying to think of another team that has that many quarterbacks.
19th overall, Casey Hampton.
The Bucks. Okay. Wrong.
The...
In 01. Have traded for Miami Dolphins.
That's right. Oh. Paul gets it. Paul gets it.
Feely and Lemon and Culpepper.
Yeah.
Let's see.
Pennington?
Well, he was free agent. They cut him and signed
him. That's right.
Salt in Orlando. It's been a while since I wrote or called, so I have a few questions. I admit I'm one show behind, but I read a while ago, since he is shopping Chad Johnson for a second-round pick, doesn't Bill Belichick, head coach of the New England Patriots, like him? Do you see the Pats trading for him? What's his contract like? In my opinion, which isn't much, Chad could immediately be a starter opposite Moss and after 2010 could slide into Moss's role when Moss's contract is up.
I do not know his contract situation.
I don't know his situation
either.
He
was whining today. How come everybody can get traded except me? So
Sheldon Brown would beg to differ.
Mm. No, everyone from the Bengals seemingly. I heard Hushmanzada said, you know, he was complaining to him that everybody found their way out of here except for me.
The one thing I saw is that he wants out. Pretty much everybody in football wants to trade him, but that Mike Brown doesn't, and that
he won't be traded until Mike Brown finally gives up and says, I'll trade him. He wants to keep him.
There's a lot of things that aren't going to happen in Cincinnati until Mike Brown.
Yeah, but he's young. He's not like Al Davis. It's not like 3 years around the corner.
It's not like there's any light at the end of the
tunnel.
No,
he's going to be there forever unless somebody blows his socks off with
him. I was wondering also, says Saul, if you can restructure someone's contract so that their signing bonus becomes a roster bonus. I guess, in other words, can you prorate it, if that's even a word, which it must be because my spelling check didn't go crazy. I thought I remember Brady doing this a couple years back, and if you can't, obviously Brady did something else.
Yeah, you can't. Signing bonus is paid when it's
you can't.
Yeah. What Brady has done is he's had his annual salary in the form of a bonus that you get, you know, so you can prorate it. You give it to him all up front, and you have it guaranteed.
I believe
you
he's
get
also
it up front
done
and then you can
roster bonuses and turn them into signing bonuses, because roster bonus is that year. Signing bonus is the length.
They're
of
pretty
the
strict about once a team commits, you know, guaranteed dollars.
Yeah.
You can't then undo that because too many teams, you know, that'd be just cheating, basically.
Unprorated is a word. Unprorated.
Unprorated.
And if you can unprorate contracts, is there an uncapped year? Can't you just unprorate most of the higher bonus heavy contracts so that when the cap comes back, you'll still have those players and they are cheaper? That seems like a better strategy than signing other guys to huge contracts and you don't even know how well they'll play with you. I'm sure there's going to be provisions in there that you can't unprorate.
I don't think
you can do that.
Yeah. We have a lot of emails. Boy,
read them.
We could do a show for a long time today if we wanted to.
A long time.
Chris Ferreira writes in to remind people that the voting for the Hall of Fame nominees is now live on Patriots.com.
Fred doesn't want
to
vote.
I think that was impressive, Fred, that you were able to hit all three of those.
Well, it's a good guess. Because I looked at who was, you know, because of the four-year moratorium, you can't become eligible for 4 years. You had to have three. So John Morris, Houston Antoine, and Jim Nance were the logical choices.
Because they had 40.
Sure.
You know? So
very few other players in history have been out of it for that long, right?
Matt,
who are you voting for, Fred?
John Morris. Matt from Oregon writes
in. He's voting now because he wasn't voting earlier.
Hey, fellas, a couple things for you real quick. First, I'd like to make a motion that instead of having John from L.A. call in at the beginning of every show to hear his own voice, that we try to get that guy Swig to call in more often. He is freaking hysterical, and his walk-in is unreal. Anyway, as far as football, am I the only one who wants to see some upgrades to the offensive line? I mean, I couldn't agree more that the most glaring needs are defense, but no matter who we have as receivers, if Brady doesn't have time to throw them the ball, what good are they? The line has shown periods of absolute domination, but then they go and fall apart at the worst possible times. Also, Matt Light isn't getting any younger, and even though Stephen Neal is one of my favorite Patriots, he really can't be counted on to stay healthy. Lastly, I'm coming home in a few weeks and need to redeem my Qdoba prize. How do I go about making that happen? Doctor will tell you all about how to do that. You just call him up, right?
Tell him
that you're
24 hours notice. And you want your buffet.
I think the pass protection gets infinitely better with Brady coming back. I really do.
Got infinitely better with Matt Cassel being more comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the end of last year, the offensive line was playing pretty well. They were running the ball, and they weren't having those terrible sacks that they had early in Cassel's tenure last year.
Well, a lot of those sacks were because he was holding the ball too long, and he was running around, and he, you know, he brought them on himself in a lot of ways.
I mean, they ran the ball pretty well last year with a diverse backfield and different guys in there from week to week. And I totally disagree with the – I don't know that they're dominant very often. I think they're good a lot of the time and have some very, very bad days every once in a while.
But I think you can count them on one hand. I mean, it was that game late in the year against the Dolphins, obviously the Super Bowl.
The overrated Jason Taylor had a field day with them.
The Pittsburgh game this past year. I think they're very rare.
Right.
They are glaring, no doubt.
They make people remember them, and then people get angry, and they want to.
The Super Bowl is what sticks out in everybody's mind, and I'm not saying that's wrong. That was a huge game,
right?
You know, but I just don't think that that's a position that is badly in need of an overhaul.
Look what it did to Max Lane's career. I mean, everybody remembers, you know, him getting tooled at the end of that Super Bowl, and forevermore, that's the way he was remembered.
Yeah, but they would have never remembered him for being good, right?
I mean, no, right. But you're right.
He got
Max Lane wasn't bad. He was a serviceable.
But he was going to be nobody, and now he's just infamous.
Yeah.
He was never going to be famous.
He would have been what,
you know,
one
Bill
of these
Buckner's
guys
a career
now.
300 hitter, but he's
right,
remembered.
But that's different.
Know.
But
he was good.
He had a good career.
And now he has a game that lasts in infamy. Max Lane was just going to be forgotten about. Thank you for playing the NFL for a little while.
Let's see. Chris with a T-I-N says that the words moving up into the top 10 was mentioned by Belichick at least four times today. Is he blowing smoke?
Yep.
If not, who could he be in love with? Everett Brown, Brian Arakpo, Robert Ayers?
Of those
Maybe
three.
Everett Brown, I would say.
Brown and Arakpo are guys you can fall in love with because I have.
I don't think he was.
Because you have.
I don't think he was necessarily blowing smoke, and I also don't think he was specifically talking about doing it. I think it was more of a point of fact.
Mm-hmm.
Based on what they have, he figures they could probably get to 10.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's about as high as they can get.
Using the value chart.
With what they have. The value of their picks. Mm-hmm. I don't think he was necessarily trying to say, this is what we're thinking about, or there's a guy specifically that we're interested in. Although I do think that if they're going to trade up, this is the year to do it because of all of those factors. They have the ability to trade up that they haven't always had in the past.
But you marry that with the idea that no one has consensus, and it's weird. It's unstable footing. I mean, why do you trade? Maybe you rate the guy high, but no one else does, and you can stay put and get him at 23, right?
Absolutely.
Or maybe someone else loves him, and he's gone at 7. I mean, there's a lot of instability at the top of the draft.
I'd be surprised with a big move up. Where I could see something happening is maybe late in the first round.
Oh, I could even see 23 to Everett Brown.
Sure.
If he's still on and he's a guy they love for some reason, whatever, I could see them doing the 3-4 spots, whatever, to get to him
I mean, I was going to use it more so getting to the bottom of the first round with the second round pick. You know, maybe someone's, you know, hanging around, maybe a Darius Butler or someone like that. It's kind of hanging
Darius
around.
Butler.
Yeah, I like him a lot.
Paul wants to marry
Ryan,
as much as you would.
Ryan from Arlington, Virginia says, who the hell is Houston Antoine? I don't consider myself a newbie bandwagon fan by any stretch, and I never even heard of the guy. Who's next, Chris Slade? Even the Patriots Hall of Fame shouldn't be the Hall of Pretty Good. Wow. Well, I don't think that's fair. Houston Antoine was a pretty good player.
He just said he didn't want it to be the Hall of Pretty
Good. I say that in the Bill Parcells sense.
Houston Antoine was a Hall of Fame worthy player.
Yeah,
but it was in the 60s. Yeah. Well, obviously, if he was a Pro Football Hall of Fame worthy.
And he'd already be in the Patriots Hall of Fame.
We wouldn't be having this discussion.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for this edition. Todd has a new name for Eric. It's Eric the Erotic Art King of North Providence.
Oh, Christ.
So maybe we'll get more information out of Eric about this lurid past that he has with nude models.
Yeah.
All right. That's going to do it for today's edition. We will see you noon Thursday for our next one. And, of course, this all leads into the big weekend, 6 o'clock on Saturday, noon on Sunday, live draft shows here on PFW in Progress. We'll see you on Thursday.